Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 99, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of June 2nd, 2014. I'm your host, Derek, and I'm joined by Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is my month.
Your month?
Well, yeah, my birthday's in about 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Do I have to get you something?
Nah, I don't want birthday presents. Somebody ever gets me birthday. I haven't gotten a birthday present since, like, an actual birthday present since I was, like, 7, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you sound a little faint. Not as clear as usual.
Faint?
Yeah, as in you're, like, a couple steps away from the mic.
Oh. Well, I guess. I'm trying to sit up straight and... Well, speaking to the mic properly.
Yeah,
as well.
move your voice, your face a little closer to the mic.
Is this working?
Yeah, it still sounds kind of faint. Huh, whatever. At least you're not blowing my ears out now.
Would you prefer that, or would you prefer I faint?
I don't know what it is. It sounds like you're quieter, but the audio levels aren't any quieter, so yeah, I have no idea what's going on here. But
set to the max.
Yeah.
Lower that a bit.
All right, well, this is episode 99. We are one episode away from the big 100. So, did you think that we would make it this far when we started this?
I honestly did not think we'd make it that far.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, that's the weird thing, because there was a certain point where I was thinking, well, I'm not going to just quit. But at the same time, the whole idea of reaching episode 100 never really crossed my mind. I was just thinking, we're only 25 episodes in. I mean, that's just not something that I ever considered, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, being just one episode away from it, I'm tempted to just troll everyone and just decide, okay, we're done here. Wrapping it up at 99, that's a nice round number, isn't it?
That's mean.
Yeah.
Then again, no, yeah. It's still mean.
Yeah, but, well, we still need to get through this week, so let's go ahead and do the news, shall we?
All right.
All right, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for May 19th through the 25th. Starting off in 10th place, we have Ace of Diamond, volume 41.
I heard that series is good. I believe it's about baseball or something.
Yeah, so I've heard. It is a baseball series, so...
I'm not a fan of sports manga.
I can take them or leave them.
Okay. 9th place, Kamisama Kiss, Volume 18.
8th place, Fairy Tail, Volume 43.
7th place, Kyowa Kaisha Yasumi Mas, Volume 6. Why is there a period at the end of that one?
6th place, Hozuki no Reitetsu, Volume 14.
5th place, Saint Young Men, Volume 10.
4th place, Black Lagoon, Volume 10.
We really should read Saint Young Men.
We should.
We should. It'd be funny. Yeah. Anyways, 3rd place, Aoharu Ride, Volume 10.
2nd place, Jojo Leon, Volume 7.
And in 1st place, Terraformar, Volume 9.
Yes, when does that come out again?
See,
I'm just pulling up my...
The anime, that is.
Well, yeah, well, I mean the volume, yeah, okay, yeah, it's coming out in July on the 15th of July.
Volume 1?
Yeah, Volume 1 is. So, that's cool. All right. Let's see, and all right, let's move on to the New York Times manga bestseller list. Starting with 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 10.
9th place, Naruto Volume 65.
8th place, Attack on Titan Volume 2.
7th place, Nisekoi Fofo Volume 3.
5th place, Dragonar Academy, Volume 2.
6th place, you mean? You skipped 6th
place.
Oh, 6th
place. Attack on Titan, Volume 3, yeah.
You keep getting Attack on Titan. 5th place, Dragonar Academy, Volume 2.
4th place, Fairy Tail, Volume 38.
Okay, 3rd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1. Holy crap, on the list for 50 weeks.
Jeez. 2nd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 12.
And actually, I'm gonna get to a reason about that too later on. In 1st place, Monster Musume Volume 3.
Oh boy, Western U.S. manga fans are perverts. I guess that's all there is to it.
Hey,
very strange perverts.
It's better than being a creep, you know.
No, it's the same thing.
Well, pervert's a less meaner word term. Pervert in Japan, they see is basically just weirdo.
Yeah, well, it is weird, especially when you consider that ecchi series that borderlines on hentai is in first place, and it's all about monster girls. Like, you've got a centaur, a harpy, and I'm just like, this is the weirdest shit I have ever seen. Why are you people buying it? Oh, well.
Well, you clearly don't have enough. I mean, moving on. North American anime manga releases for the week of May 25th through 31st.
Alright, the anime releases, we have Aquarian Evolve, DVD and Blu-ray Part 2.
Deer, capital S at the end as well. DVD mm-hmm. Complete Collection, Deers.
Mm-hmm. Love, Chunibyo and Other Delusions, DVD Complete Collection.
What's a Chunibyo anyway? I've seen that term around a few times. Mm. Lupin the Third, the Hemingway paper, DVD Complete Collection, and DVD... And just Lupin the Third DVD, the complete first series. Ooh, I want that.
Ooh, yes. Yes, please. Might have to, I know that a bunch of the series are on Hulu, so I need to watch those there first. But that does look like a nice release. Moto To Love Ru Trouble Blu-ray Complete Collection.
I'm guessing that's the anime.
Yeah. All right. Okay, now this next one is crazy.
Servant Service DVD Complete Set.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, let me double check Crunchyroll, but I'm pretty sure those are like only 5 minutes apiece. Let me just double check Crunchyroll to be safe. Oh, for the love of stupid ad. Let's see, Servant. Alright, Servant X Service. Loading that now, and each episode is... One sec. I'm just loading an episode here. How long is this? Alright, each episode is... Oh, for the love of... There's an ad playing. Riveting! Riveting podcasting. One sec, I forgot to log into my account. Alright, let's try that again. I mean, I don't know. It looks like a fun series, but I'm pretty sure if I look at it... And it's getting good ratings. Let's see. Oh, hey, they give me 1080p. Woo! Let's see, how long is each episode? Come on. Give me a time. Give me a time before you start playing audio. Alright. Oh. It started playing audio. Why was the audio going through my speaker?
I can hear it. Why I heard it, but I don't want to hear it.
Why was I going... Okay, so they are actually 4 episodes.
Oh.
But nonetheless, $74.98. That is crazy. Guess who it's by?
Or
who's bringing it over?
Aniplex of America?
Yep. that's silly. Alright, well, let's see, what else do we have?
Your turn, Dave.
Super Robot Wars Original Generation, Divine Wars, DVD Complete Collection, and Super Robot Wars Original Generation, the Animation OVA DVD. Cool.
Oh, you bastard, not to say the name of this next title.
Daniel Tenge,
DVD Complete Collection.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yes, that one.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Okay, finished that. Okay, I was just adjusting. Yeah, Tenjo Tenge is... It's horseshit. Don't anyone buy it.
Agreed.
Let's see, and what else do we have here?
Manga releases.
Yes, excellent. All right, for the manga releases, Attack on Titan Colossal Edition Omnibus Volume 1 is out, and it's only $60.
I'm not buying it. I don't care how crazy the Attack on Titan craze is. I'm not buying that.
It's a lot. I think it's like 6 volumes or 5 volumes. It must be at least 6 volumes in one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, or maybe even more. I can't remember how much exactly, but it's very big.
My bookshelf be like, oh man, you're going to kill me. You're trying to stuff me full and making my stomach explode. Bookshelf, you're a bookshelf. You don't talk.
Yeah, somehow I feel I should not buy that because next thing I know, a bunch of my other manga has disappeared and there's these weird pulpy paper bunches of stuff everywhere. It was like, Attack on Titan Colossal Edition, did you eat Fairy Tail? You son of a bitch. Alright, what else do we have?
The Tomb, Volume 6.
There's another, talking about horse shit. let's see, Cage of Eden, Volume 14. Wow, lots of horse shit.
Wait, Batum's horse shit?
It's one of those ones with excessive fan service and questionable characters that react to awful things involving fan service in questionable ways.
Yeah, Cage of Eden, that series ended as far as I know. Gong, Volume 15.
Crap. Uh-huh. Hard Temptation.
Yay! High School of the Dead, Volume 1.
No, that's High School DxD.
Oh. Damn it! Oh!
It's the one with the demon succubus thing. I don't know. It's another crappy fan service series.
Dang it! They have similar titles, I swear. they almost do.
Yep.
They have D of D.
Yeah.
Why'd I do that?
Alright, next one. Itazura na Kiss, Volume 10.
Jack Frost, Volume 10.
Ladies Full of Love. Another porno.
Yay, Makanoshi Deluxe, Volume 2.
Don't do that.
But it's an okay series.
The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, Volume 18.
My Little Monster, Volume 2.
Son of a... Nurse's Paradise.
Private Teacher, Volume 4. Oh, great, at the LA. The publisher's junior.
Rather that than porn. Puella Magi Kazumi Magica, Volume 5.
Legioli. Guy. Straight, too. Anyways. Soul Eater, Volume 20.
Takasugi-san Zobento, Volume 2.
That one. Triage X, Volume 6. It's by the same, the same creator of High School of the Dead. At least the artist, not the writer.
That's... pass. Until Death Do Us Part, Volume 6.
It's kind of stupid anyway. Oh, Until Death Do Us Part. I heard that's good. I gotta read that. Virgin Games!
Uh-huh.
Yay!
The Wallflower, Volume 32.
I need to read that.
It's an alright series. It kind of got, after a while, it got dull because it was the same thing over and over again.
Oh.
Well, also, there's only so many pretty boys that I can take before I decide that I need to go read something a little more violent.
That's too much pretty. I must read, but I don't want to read Berserk.
Yeah, not quite that violent. okay, let's see.
Other releases.
Yeah, we've got the Fate Complete. You go ahead.
Material, Volume 1, Art Material, Art Book, the Mario Kart 8 Nintendo Wii U game, the Mind Zero PS Vita game, and Watch Dogs for PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
Cool.
Huh. Arc System Works.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that game, I don't know. I'm not really that into games, so I don't know anything. Alright, well, that was good. Got some good releases coming out. Also got a lot of ridiculous porno coming out, so...
I don't care about those.
Yeah. It's...
I bet you don't care about those. I'm not kidding. Anyways. Okay, other news. I decided to have a little segment, a little sub-segment in the news, because it's kind of because I keep running across news like this. Basically, it's pretty much about manga that are ending, so, The Black Bullet manga by Hone Morino is going to end next month. I think it's this one, because this is news from last week. So it's going to end on June 27th. And the funny thing is that it's a manga adaptation based off a light novel.
Okay.
And when I found this news, I decided to catch up and read on it. And I was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Have lollies.
Pass.
Yeah, I thought so. That's what I said. You're like, pass, okay. Next one. Attack on Titan No Regrets is going to end also in June. On June 28th. It's the spin-off about, let's see. I think it's the one that's been about Levy, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, that one, yeah, I haven't read that one yet, so...
I think that one's also based off a light novel, I'm not sure. This one.
Yeah, that one... Yeah, that one I haven't read at all, so...
I only read one chapter, and I'm like, okay, I'm... Okay, anyways, Marimo no Hana Shoujo manga is going to end in July, on July 3rd.
Huh, okay, what's that one about?
It's about a usually quiet fourth grade girl in elementary school. However, a certain incident leads to Marimo's personal strength blossoming. It's a shoujo manga. I don't think there's any superpowers involved in this.
Oh, well. It's a shame. I like superpowers better.
This series I read a bit of before, but I didn't get a catch up on it. Milk Morinaga's Gakuen Polisi manga will end in June as well, on June 21st. And this one is, how do I describe, okay. The main character is a girl who fantasizes about becoming a defender of justice, like the magical girls in Sentai Rangers she admired on TV. Years have passed, and she's become a police officer herself. I don't know how. I think she's... Her first assignment is to infiltrate an all-girls high school and ferret out any trouble she may find. And I'll just say this. It's a yuri manga.
Oh. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. And the last one is Chronicles of the Going Home Club manga's last volume has been listed. Okay, I gotta say this. Having a club called Go Home Club is kind of redundant because they're just gonna go home. They're not gonna be there for the club or anything.
Well, I think that's kind of what it is. It's not really they're not really meant to be a club, you know? It's more they're just, you know, it's more they're just there. They're just, you know, that's just the term that they use for kids that go home. Instead of going to club?
Kitakibu. Kitakubu, literally go home club for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Real pretty thing. Sure that's what it means.
I mean, the actual Kitakubu thing, not the story itself. I'm not sure about that, but...
All right. Fair enough. What else do we have?
What's the actual news? Okay. This is kind of sad. Gundam's Advance of Zeta spin-off manga canceled due to artist's help.
Oh, really?
Okay, this manga, The Advance of Zeta, Gundam, mm-hmm. It went on hiatus last summer due to the illness of the mangaka becoming a long-lasting one.
Mm.
So I guess the publisher was like, okay, this is kind of bad, and we don't want you to die because of the other guy that's very famous, and we don't want you to die, so we're going to just have to tell you to quit it and... Hope you get better, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the other guy, Segway.
Oh.
One Piece's 8-year-old is going to take a 2-week break due to his tonsil operation. It's kind of funny. My little sister had a tonsil operation last January. Last year in January.
Yeah, they kind of... Yeah, it seems like what the reason for this is because...
Oh, wait, should we segue into that?
Yeah, go ahead. When will it not be there?
Yeah, true. Yeah, so, yeah, kind of, I'm guessing that the reason for that is probably because Attack on Titan manga tops One Piece in half-year sales.
Hmm. Wow. Oh, wait. No, that's not what I wanted to say.
That's not the one?
One where Oda is going getting tonsillitis.
All right.
The deal with that is that he's taking his previous previously he had to take time off because of a tonsil infection, and so that's why he's just getting it out, and that will allow him to be able to get work without having to take other time off, so it should help him in the long run. And so,
damn, I missed what you just said.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it will be off. Let's see, when will it be off?
It'll be off for the week of, hang on, let me see. The week of June 9th and June 16th, and return on June 23rd. Mm. No, wait, 23rd. Yay, yes, in time for my birthday week.
Yay.
Well, you know, there's sometimes you don't want to be happy, just be sad like the birthday. Forgive me for that.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what, yeah, hopefully he gets better. He
seriously, those tonsils
quickly.
Are bad, man, because my sister, when she had tonsils, she would get sick all the time. All the time. And then after she got rid of it, I know this, like, within the past 6 months, like, hey, Lenny, you're not sick anymore. And she's like, yeah, I'm not sick anymore. I took a bloody nose in the hot days, but I'm like, well, drink more water.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Okay, now, what was it about the Attack on Titan ratings?
Oh, yes. It got number one on the, according to Oricon. Okay.
Yeah, it outdid One Piece, huh?
Really outdid One Piece.
That's crazy.
Okay, so basically, it sold 8 million manga, 8 million copies of its manga, while One Piece sold only 4 million. But then I read this up. Some people were saying, One Piece only had one volume out last year. Only had one volume out, while Attack on Titan had two volumes out.
Mm.
And One Piece has been a long one. It has like about, what is it, 73 volumes so far?
Yeah.
Well, Attack on Titan is only like 13. But when I thought about it in a funny way, Hajime only got lucky and won because Oda was sick that year. He was starting to fall into it. He was just starting to fall. That's the only reason. So he only won because Oleg had a handicap at the time.
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. So don't get cocky.
Don't get cocky. But of course he was happy saying, I never dream I'd be number one. And that's good. That's good. That's good. I mean, Kodansha kind of deserved a standout for once.
True. I can still imagine someone in Shueisha is just kicking themselves like, dang it, dang it, dang it.
Probably the editor.
Yeah.
I should have urged them to keep writing. No, you'd kill them. And then we all come after you and kick your ass.
No, it's more because, he'd taken it to Jump first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'll write the one person like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shoot. Oh, well.
All right, yeah, what else do we have for news?
Well, that's it. That's actually the biggest news so far. A time of time topping One Piece.
Oh, really?
And then the others after One Piece. Let's see. And third, I think was Maji. No. Kuro was basketball. Four is Maji. No wait. Sorry. Third is Kuro's basketball. Fourth is somehow Naruto. Mm. Yeah. Huh. Naruto.
That's crazy.
It's kind of. I know people. Some people are mad. It's kind of scary how close Naruto came to Don't Think first, but Attack on Titan took over way too much that there's no chance of it ever getting near that much.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
I like the Attack on Titan fan. I like reading the series, but I'm nowhere near a fan.
Yeah, I like it. It's good for it. But still, One Piece is the long running series that is not, kinda gonna stick around for a long time after Attack on Titan finishes. So. Mm-hmm.
Isayama will be like, we can work on their series. People, hey, look, he's making a new series. And people will jump on and go, ah, it's not a great Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
I mean,
well.
Here's the funny thing about Attack on Titan One Piece. Their art is really hard to get into.
Well, One Piece a little earlier on, but it does still look a little unusual.
Well, I'm being pretty honest here, because when it came to Attack on Titan, I had trouble getting into it because of the art. Yeah. I was pretty, what's the word? What is it? The word... Dang it, why am I so bad with words? Judgmental, there you go, judgmental, yeah. On looks, appearances.
Right.
I was about One Piece because I found out with the anime first before I got into the actual series itself, but Attack on Titan, I got into the manga first before the anime came out. So, and I haven't seen the anime at all, and I would pretty much assume that the anime is kind of the reason why the sales went up so high.
Yeah, definitely. The anime definitely is what caused it to be so popular.
People keep saying the anime is so great, anime is so great, anime is
Well,
so
you
great.
know, it's the anime is more accessible, so that
That
makes
is
things,
true,
you
but
know,
it was
it makes
manga
it
that
easier.
went all the way up in the first place.
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know, some people that, you know, only like mo there are fans that only like to, that mainly watch anime, and so if they discover an anime that has a manga, you know, that will make them go read the manga. So while we tend to be a lot of times tend to be more into just reading the reading the manga.
I like to do
But
both, to be honest, but there's something, you know, it gets difficult when you realize, hey, it's easier to read manga than to watch anime.
Yeah, I don't know.
Personally, for
I think
me.
it's easier for a lot of people to just sit and watch the anime. You know,
Yeah,
it's a little
which
less
person doesn't watch
investment.
stuff is.
But yeah.
We're trying to, eyes are going, wait, what's going on here? What am I reading? Tired, distraction, distraction,
Yeah.
distraction.
But yeah, personally I prefer manga, but yeah, either way. All right, so no other news then? All right, let's go ahead and get on to the next segment, shall we?
Okay.
It's time for the review section of Manga Cubed, and this week we are going over Volume 1 of Hunter x Hunter in preparation for reading the latest chapter of Hunter x Hunter. And we are also going over One Piece Volumes 37, 38, and 39. So to
Okay.
start things off, we are going to talk about Hunter x Hunter, and I'm going to let Mo take the lead from this one because I speak too much and he's read this part of the series twice. So Mo, take it away.
Well, I realized I only read about 30 chapters of this series before I stopped at some point. Although I thought it'd be a good point to stop here. Well, when we get to the 30th chapter, I'll explain why. Anyways, yeah, Hunter x Hunter. It's actually a series. Just to give a little background on it. It started being published in 1998. Toriko was published in 2008. There's a reason why, because when I was going on the scanners, I had the volume too, so don't worry. I go scanners, and the first thing I see is these little notes on this one side. Because they told me it's a one of the scanning sites, anyway. And I was like, really? Someone's gonna actually say that this was that Toriko copy that this copy Toriko? Really? Wow! Ignorant!
Someone actually
Ignorant!
said that? That's
Someone
silly.
actually said that.
Yeah, that is kind of silly. But I guess, I don't know, I guess comparisons between manga are kind of inevitable. I mean, honestly, yeah, people continue to insist on comparing Fairy Tail and One Piece, pulling out the same old, oh, the art style looks the same, when they haven't actually looked at the recent art style for either series recently, it looks like. So, you know, people don't like to give up whenever they think that there's some kind of, oh, this series is a rip-off of this. So,
They just need something to talk about. Anyways,
yeah.
let me.
The one thing that I will say about comparing Hunter x Hunter to Toriko is that Toriko is a little more focused in its world. You know, it's the both series are about hunters, but in Toriko's world, they're actually hunters that hunt animals to eat.
Not people. What do you think of that?
Well, with Hunter Hunter, it seems more like it's just, you know, they're hunters more in the sense of they hunt for anything, you know, they're there to be able to, you know, to go in dangerous situations and just, I guess, if I understand properly, just retrieve things, you know, like whether it be animals or like treasure
Oh
or things
yes,
like that.
about that. I read on the wiki that Togashi actually got the idea for Hunter x Hunter because he had a hobby for collecting things. So in a sense, yeah, it is kind of like that.
That gives me
The
an idea.
hunters in this series are like they can be any kind of hunter generally. They don't have to be just one type of hunter the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And okay, yeah, so this first volume. Well, I mean, this is my first time this is my first time being introduced to the series. So a lot of what I'm reading is I mean, this is a series that manga fans love to talk about. And so
And back then, I kind of wish that they would shove a ball because I just didn't understand why they were popular in the first place.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, the thing was that I, you know, was that I heard people discussing, you know, I heard people discussing it so often. I heard character names being mentioned and so on, and you know, sort of like people doing sort of like basic reviews of the series and whatnot. That reading this for the first time was kind of looking at it and going like, oh. That's who that is.
You know? Yeah.
Because I've read that. Yeah, I've read the name. You know, I've heard the names of all these different characters, but never knew where, you know, where to put
Gon,
their faces.
Pika, Leorio.
I mean, yeah, Gon.
Killua.
Yeah, Gon. I knew Gon. I recognized because I'd seen him in the images so often. His other two friends. What is it?
Pika and Leorio.
Yeah, Leorio. I didn't. Yeah, I had no idea. I think Kurapika was in that one special chapter that Jump did a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So him I could recognize, and then what's the other guy's name?
Killua.
Killua, yeah, that one I was like, I didn't notice. I don't know. Kurapika and Killua are kind of hard to tell apart a little bit. The only difference being one has spiky hair and one has floppy hair. But they both have the same hair color, you know? Or at least it looks like they have the same hair color when it's not
It's
drawn.
Actually pretty easy to tell them apart because Killua is more like a closer friend to Gon in a way.
It looks more like Gon.
Yeah, it looks almost more like Gon with better hair.
Yeah, no, but, honestly. You know, still...
Yeah, better hair.
Yeah, they still look, you know, they still look similar enough that it's, you know, kind of hard at first with the art style to tell them apart.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, and I think the one that kind of surprised me the most is that I didn't know what Hisoka actually looks like. Because I keep hearing about him, because you always hear about the weird, creepy sexual deviance in manga whenever people... Oh, Hisoka, yeah. When they ever talk about, you know, whenever someone talks about manga, they always bring up the... seem to bring up the perverted, you know, sexual deviant character.
Andre! No.
Well, no, I wouldn't call him a sexual deviant.
Like Sanji?
Yes, actually he is. He's more of a sexual deviant than Bon Clay.
Rock.
I mean, sure, Bon Clay likes to dress up in, well, I wouldn't even call it women's clothing. I don't know what the hell he wears.
He is a man and a woman in spirit.
Well, he's...
That's what he is.
Yeah. I mean, to put it simply, yeah, he's a transvestite.
Yeah.
Even though the clothes he wears don't look anything like a woman's clothes. But, you know what? Personally, I think that someone that's, you know, that's constantly trying to hit on many different women, possibly with the aim of eventually sleeping with them, I'd call them more of a sexual deviant than someone that likes to dress up in women's clothing. Because dressing up in certain clothes doesn't necessarily mean anything sexual. While wanting to sleep with women is very much a sexual thing.
What would be a better word for sexual deviant?
Sexual deviant. I mean, well, yeah,
it's
a creep.
Pretty
yeah, they. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there you go, creep.
That I'm sorry, Sanji, but you are called. You're going to be called a creep for the time being.
That's not nice.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I have to say. But yeah, anyway, that aside.
Yes, about Hunter x Hunter in general.
First of all.
So it's basically the introduction to the Hunter exam, which is generally the first arc.
That
and,
was
yeah.
kind of shocking.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
It was kind of shocking. And
it's like, oh, cool, a brand new manga. I'm going to read it. Why is there a tournament arc in the first volume? What the hell?
That's the fun. That's the funny thing about this actually later on, like I only got 30 chapters, is that the tournament arc of this one is not exactly what you think it is. Because usually when we do tournament arc, we think, oh, this guy fights this guy, this guy fights this guy, this guy beats this guy wants revenge because this guy lost, he kicked this guy's butt, this guy wants to kick this guy's butt because he got revenge on this guy. Yeah. That.
Yes.
This is not that kind of tournament is. I mean, with Seven Deadly,
Seven Deadly Sins, it was exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, when did we start Seven Deadly Sins? Like, not the volume, but like the chapter itself reviewing it. I think it was sometime after that tournament arc, though.
Yeah, I think it was, but man, back on topic.
Right. Hunter x Hunter.
Yes.
So, yes, the series. Actually, when I first read this myself, I was like, oh no, is that going to start with the tournament arc, really? Well, I hope it'll be pretty short because, you know, it's the first arc. First arcs don't last that long. And I was like, wait, it's not over yet. You serious? It's not over yet.
It's, yeah, I've heard that Togashi's intention with this series was to do whatever the hell he wants. And it looks like enough people resonate with the do whatever the hell I want method of writing that he gets to keep writing as much as he wants, and he gets to take as many breaks as he wants. So, yeah, one thing that I think was kind of funny looking at was in Chapter 4, that fox monster thing. I kind of look at that and I start thinking, okay, let's see, when did Naruto come out?
Naruto came out the year after this series was published.
Oh, Kishimoto, tisk, tisk, tisk. Nah, I'm just joking. It's just a minor monster, and it kind of looks similar to a fox because, you know, that's what foxes in, you know, Japanese
foxes are pretty popular in Japanese mythology. At least, like, the story about, like, how, I remember correctly. The man, on the wakes up drunk, he wanders off, meets some woman, and he marries her and all that, and all happy, and all of a sudden something, he does something he's not supposed to do, and then somehow he wakes up and realizes that it was all a dream, there was no home, he was robbed, and his so-called wife is gone. Mm-hmm. As in, the fox tricks them. That's what the fox does. I'm not sure about the Korean fox though, but you know, different. Mm-hmm. I like foxes better than cats.
Boo. Cats are the best. But, yeah.
Corgis are better than cats.
No.
They're like fluffy, I think.
Yeah.
I never had a corgi. So back to Hunter Hunter.
Yeah, so the volume itself, so what do we think?
I like the test. The test actually, you're like, they're not, like I said, they're not fighting. They're more like about, you know, what would you do in this situation? And how would you react to it? And would you really do it?
Yeah.
Those were good.
Yeah, it's less about how, you know, it's less about fighting prowess and more about problem solving, I guess, and, you know, strength.
Cognition, problem solving. Generally, that's what it is, problem solving. But in a really interesting way, because there was this one part of the chapter, I think it was, I don't know what chapter it was, probably 5 or something. But it's when they met that old lady who was like telling them, answer 1 or 2, and then you can pass. It's like, your mother and your girlfriend are in trouble, but you can only save one. Who would you save? And I was like, question that. And then there's that one guy's like, oh, it's easy, I'll save my mother because the mother's unique and the girlfriend can get another one. I'm like, douchebag. And then he just walks off. I'm like,
well, yeah. You only have one mother. You can theoretically have more than one girlfriend.
Yeah, but then when Kurapika, he tried to answer. The way he answered was actually surprising at first, but then when I thought about it, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But then after they left, the old lady was like, yeah, silence is the right answer. But then again, when it comes down to who will you save? And then it was focused on Gon, and it focused on Kurapika and Lori in one panel. I was like, oh boy, these 1 and 2 is going to die later on in the series. 1 or 2. Possible. Mm-hmm. Unless it's already happened and somehow I was like, not letting them die. That's pointless. I built them enough. Why should I let them die? Then again. Oh yeah, speaking about dying. Mm. Lots of unnamed characters kind of get killed in this series.
Well, yeah.
Wait, did they start getting killed in this series? Yeah, they did. Yeah. But even before the test started, to be honest. Like with the whole the water thing, and then when they arrived, and there's that one guy who answered this question, he went off, and then apparently he goes, oh, I heard him got killed. And we shouldn't have gone. It's good that we didn't go that way. I'm like, yeah. And stuff.
Yeah,
people die in this series way more than you know, the one that Toriko, that guy getting eaten by a cockroach. Giant bug cockroach.
Yeah, it is. It is really weird, kind of like, you know, right towards the end, you know, you've got those, like, giant turtles that eat people.
Oh, yeah, that was scary.
And it's like, you know, they just look so weird, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of, There's a lot of people die, but the way they're, you know, the way they're, the way it's drawn is a little more cartoonish than realistic, so it is less, you know, it's not, like, very gory. It's more.
But we don't know their name. We don't need to care about them enough.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it's also done in a way that isn't too, you know, obviously gruesome. So, you know, so it still works as a boys' manga while at the same time being a little more serious than you might think. So, you know, this isn't one of those series where nobody dies. So I can see how that would be appealing for some people. A series that has the same kind of sense of fun as One Piece, while at the same time is a bit more serious, and people, you know, it's actually possible for people to die. And so that I find is kind of, I think that might be part of why it's so popular. But yeah, we'll have to read more of this, definitely. I need to read more of it, but it's kind of hard to get your hands on at Barnes & Noble because they don't seem to have the volumes around anymore.
Yeah, well.
So I might have to just go to Amazon.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
What do you think of the two characters, Tompa and Hisoka?
All right, let's see. Hisoka is...
What you got on them so far?
Yeah, well, that's kind of hard to have an opinion on him without knowing what happens to him, what he's like later.
True.
But so far, I mean, so far he has that sort of creepy Joker vibe to him with the sort of, you know.
I just say, when I saw Hisoka, I was like, he's like Joker or Kefka or both.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that, and he's got kind of like that sort of clown card player sort of thing going on. And I mean, we don't get much of him now because he's, you know, he's very much the, you know, he's kind of the sort of quiet, sort of dangerous kind of character. And so, you know, not much we can say about him. And Tonpa, he reminds me a little bit of what's his face?
Kabuto,
that's it, yeah. You know, the kind of guy that's, you know, acts friendly but is actually, you know, bad news. So, you know, but a little more obviously so. It's not like they're trying to play the, oh, look, he's a good guy, and then later on it turns out.
Out of the four characters, because I think Killa was in here somewhere at some point, I actually like Leorio more.
Yeah?
Well, because, like, probably because you could relate to him, because it's like, you know, how basically going, like, I want to find my dad, or, you know, I think the hunter found my dad, and Kurapika has some other agenda in mind, and Kilo has some other agenda in mind. But Dora's like, I want money, just money. I want to live a free, good life. I'm like,
I like
anybody can relate to that.
Yeah, it's like, I like this guy.
You don't like him a lot.
Yeah, you're relatable. I too want money. I want to live a comfortable life. People, pay me to podcast, please.
They're not going to pay us anymore if you say it like that.
Yeah, oh well, sadly. But yeah. Yes. It's good. I like it.
Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thoughts about Volume 1?
Yeah, I quite like it. It is...
It's a good volume that gives you an idea of what to expect about the series without giving it too much, but letting you know what to expect. Okay, it's this series where people can go hunting things. Right now, they're taking a test because the main character is going to take a test where you can go on, you know, into the world. Oh yes, about the hunter thing in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunter license is a big deal in the world, because when you get the hunter license, they can either sell it and be eternally rich for the rest of their life, or use it to travel all over the world and go do whatever the hell they want. Which is why it's such a rare test that comes out every year or so, and people go in there and, you know, they expect to, oh, I'm gonna get and all that and stuff. And for some of them don't. The good news is that they can retake it if they, you know, survive or quit before they leave. So it's like, it's not like one of those tests like, oh, it comes only once 400, 500 years. Was it Shaman King? Shaman King, right? 500 years or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
You have to wait for 500 years to be Shaman King. Sorry, kiddo.
Yeah, sorry. We just had it 2 years ago.
out. Like,
some of that's something.
But it is a good series, you know. I recommend reading this. And I'm not saying because I had a change of heart. Okay, I guess I had a change of heart. But at the same time, I can actually see why people talk so much about this and kind of wish this was more the one known instead of One Piece in some ways. I can understand that. In some ways.
I can see why people would stick with it. I mean, just based off this first volume. But yeah, still, it's one of those, it's kind of one of those ones that we'll kind of have to wait and see whether we like it.
I read a little ahead. I just read the chapter 30 just to see what where I actually left off. Well, yeah, I left at chapter 30, so.
Yeah. But, you know, all right, let's go ahead and talk about One Piece, volume 37.
Okay.
This one feels thick. Wait a minute.
I mean, oh, it's about 10. It's about 11 chapters.
Again?
Wow. 7, that's a thick 48, one. 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. Yeah, 11 chapters.
Okay. All right, yeah, it's one of the thicker ones then. Yeah, so this volume, let's see. This is, for the most part, see, yeah, we get introduced, you know, we get the fight between Luffy and CP9.
Mm-hmm.
And they get beaten pretty well. We find out that, what's his face? Lucci has the leopard fruit or the jaguar fruit?
Leopard.
Okay.
Leopard's more vicious, apparently.
Yeah, they're larger, too.
And larger. So, yeah,
they fight, and then they decide they go after, they go after Franky because they need his, he knows where the plans are.
Yeah, he knows where the blueprint is.
Mm-hmm. And then Franky is busy telling Usopp about, hey, your ship is busted, there's nothing you can do.
And then he does it, and then he did this one thing where he just hit Usopp and send him below, and of course none of us never really saw until now how badly the kill damage was. But I saw, like, holy crap, it's really damaged.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yep. And then we also get to find out why Usopp is so against leaving the ship behind is because, you know, he knows that Mary has a spirit. Because, you know, he saw it on...
It's called Klabautermann, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, Klabautermann. And then Franky explains about how there's a legend about them. And, you know, that apparently there's kind of like the spirit of the ship, basically, you know.
Yeah, and so that the more the ship is cared for, the more it will actually manifest itself.
Yeah, and so it, you know, that's basically showing that, hey, Mary is alive. And so, you know, not so good. And then, yeah, CP9 shows up. And they beat up Franky and then we flashback.
Franky's flashback.
Yep, and we basically have where he was an apprentice for Tom, who's a fisherman, shipbuilder. And
he was a puffer fish fisherman.
Yeah.
Puffer fish. Puffer, like, oh, that's scary.
Yeah, and they basically, you know, and he learns from him, and they're all, you know, Franky likes to build weapons and whatnot. And then it turns out that CP5, one of the Cipher Pole, one of the sort of spy groups or military police groups for the world government, shows up, and they're being led by Spandam.
I keep saying spandex in my head, but I think he deserves it very much.
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, they kind of, like, you know, they originally do, originally... Tom is put on trial and is in trouble for, because he's the one that built the ship of the Pirate King Goldie Roger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spandam. Yeah, and he's pardoned as long as he builds the sea train. And then Spandam shows up and is all, hey, it was like, You know, he shows up as like, I'm going to make, because you're the guy that built the ship, I'm going to make you give me these blueprints. And he's always like, oh, hey. He's like, I know you built Gold Roger's ship. And then Tom is like, well, yeah, the government knows that. They pardoned me for it as long as I built this twin spundum. He's like, wait, what?
And, did you do your research?
And Spondum is, yeah, and it just shows that Spondum is a complete tool. He's absolutely incompetent. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then, of course, because he is so in, you know, let's see. Yeah, and, you know, you've got the judge is later on. I can like it how the judge is like, oh, hey, yeah, I've been on the ship, and this is on the sea train. It's awesome. Nobody's going to be mad with us for pardoning him now. And then Spondum, being the asswipe that he is, uses Frankie's ships that with weapons that he built to, you know, to make it look like Frankie was responsible for attacking. And then Tom decides, hey, I'm gonna take the blame for it and sacrifice himself for Frankie. And
well, you know, there's a part where Frankie was like, no, those ships are mine, and Tom's like punched him. I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah, he's like, never abandon the things that you make.
Never.
And
they hurt people.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and so basically, yeah, it basically kind of comes down to Spondum uses his power, even though he's a complete weakling, to get Tom in trouble and arrested. And then, of course, he gets his face stoved in by Frankie smashing him with a rifle. And then Frankie ends up getting run over trying to stop the sea train. And I have to say, this introduction to Spondum just makes me go, I hate that guy.
I hate him way more than I hate Neji.
I hate every... This is, like, the one character that I hate so much, and it's just the fact that he's stupid, he's bad at his job, he's a weakling, but he's just so... But somehow he's able to use his influence to make everyone's life miserable, even though anyone, literally anyone in the story, could fight him and beat him. And yeah. Yet he causes so much trouble for so many people, and you're just, whoops. It's just, I hate you so much. Hate that guy.
He's punching bag with his face on just to punch every freaking day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never get tired of it, even when I'm dead. Punch. Like, why is the punching bag in punch? Don't question it.
It's like, why is the punching bag making noise? It's like, don't question it. Yeah. So, yeah, I have to say, yeah, it's a great volume just because it's another one of those absolutely tragic flashbacks that One Piece is so good at. So that every time I see it, I'm just like, oh, why? And so, yeah, it's just, geez. But, all right, shall we move on to volume 38?
Yeah.
All right, so volume 38 finishes up the flashback. We see that Iceberg gives Frankie the, who, by the way, the original name is Cuddy Flam, but he says, you're Frankie now, because Frankie comes back as a cyborg, and he gives him the plans to hide them. And CP9 shows up, is trying to get it, but they kidnap Frankie. And it turns out that Spondum is the leader of CP9.
God damn it.
He's back. How dare you?
Well, I don't understand. How the heck did he get to be the leader of CP9? Because, okay, in the flashback, he was the leader of CP5 or something. He fought CP5 or something.
You know, I don't know. It's weird. But, yeah, it's just meant to show that, yeah, the government is filled with a bunch of incompetence.
Yes.
So, or at least there are a lot of, like, these petty, power-hungry incompetence.
No.
But... Yeah, so we continue the story with, the CP9 having escaped on the sea train. Luffy and his crew are trying to go after them while Luffy and Zoro are kind of stuck. and
Zoro being stuck is a funny thing. Like, yeah. Wait, why are you upside down? I don't know. How do you got upside down? And Loopy was stuck right where he was last stuck the last time, but this time it was by someone else.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, come on.
Loopy, how'd you get stuck there again? How?
Yeah, we also find out that Robin didn't betray the Straw Hats. She actually, you know, willingly cooperated with CP9 so that the other Straw Hats can escape.
Because of the Buster Call. Mm-hmm. That thing was so terrifying that that's the reason why she's been on the run for so long.
Yeah, so, yeah, we get to see that, you know, we get to see that, that Robin is, you know, she's still a good guy. And then they're trying to, you know, organize. Nami is running around trying to get everyone organized. She has this one guy, it's like, somebody left a letter for you. It's probably one of your crewmates. And then Nami's like, a letter from who? I'm surprised you found such a small note. And then you just see this giant message with hearts drawn on the side of the building. Nami, read this! With an arrow pointing down to where the guy found the note. And it's like, if you're not Nami, don't read this. Read it, idiot. And then we find out that Sanji is going with, you know, is on the train and he's walking through and, yeah, he's, oh geez, I forgot about this guy, Jerry from CP6?
Jerry, the guy that says he's in the box, he's a boxing champion, but he says he does karate. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, and it's like he's from Karate Island. And
I'm from Karate Island. And why are you boxing then?
Yeah, he's just so...
I can do yoga. Yeah. Wait, that's not karate at all.
Yeah, it's just that he's so huge and... He has to kind of stand at a bend over at a right angle, and I swear I don't know why I can't remember this guy.
I can't remember this guy either, but he was just so friggin' funny.
Yeah, it's like he shows up and it's like, I remember the dude with the cook dude, but I Juan. Don't remember this. Yeah, Wanzi, was it? Yeah,
was it Vans? W-A-N-D Wanzi.
Wanzi, I think. But yeah, but this guy is. I think he might have been cut from the anime.
That'd be sad if he was, but he shouldn't be, because it's just, he is just a character for Sanji to beat the crap out of.
Yeah, he's entertaining, yeah.
He was entertaining.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so we got we continue with, Nami's trying to find Zoro and Luffy, and while the Aqua Laguna, the giant tsunami is coming, and Nami's kind of like, you know, manages to get them to get out, and they manage to escape from the wave. Mm. And then Nami explains how Robin is being taken to Impel Down, where once she's there, there's no way they can get her free. And, they discover that, what's her face? What's her name again?
Which one?
The conductor lady.
Kokoro,
that's it. Jeez, I can never remember that. Yeah, it turns out she has her own C-Train, and they go after, and they're...
I have to remember.
Yeah, they go after, and they're going to, you know, go save Robin, so they're using their own C-Train, and yeah. So, these volumes are hard to discuss, because so much freaking stuff happens.
Trains!
Yeah.
I love trains.
This arc is so
basically, the Straw Hats, Galila, and the Franky family team up.
Yeah, they're kind of there.
To go save their friends. Their boss. You know, Franky family, that is. Or, you know, avenge Iceberg's near attempted assassination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, it really is. I mean, it's, all I can think of is so much stuff happens. I don't know if I can review this. So,
this volume was actually the first time we get to mention Impel Down.
Oh, yeah. Yes, good point. I mean, at the time, it was like, Impel Down. Oh, wow. But then
they save her, they probably will, but.
Yeah. It probably would have ended as well as it did for a certain someone.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, this, volume 38 really is great. I mean, it's just, so much stuff happening, and it is, this is kind of where you get to a point where it's almost like we'd need to discuss it chapter by chapter, I swear.
Yeah,
and so, but all right, yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about 39, which is they're on the train, and they also like, I think from when I read this through the first time, one of my favorite moments was where you had Nami was like, you know, this is the perfected climate baton or climate act. It's like, after we got from Sky Island, Usopp worked on it with a Dao to make it stronger, and Zoro's like, he did, huh? Usopp's, and then Nami and Luffy are like, yeah. His final work, and they're just like, so both looking so incredibly gloomy, and I'm like, what the crap?
So we're like, what the crap? Get it around already.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Yeah, and then you've got, yeah, oh yeah, and also the introduction of Soge King, who is, of course, Usopp, but in disguise. And what's that noise?
I have to play that.
What is that? This is not going to sound good on the podcast. I'm going to freaking kill you. Alright, turn it off now. Never do that again.
It was worth it.
I could barely hear it. Alright, anyway, moving on. So, Soge King, Franky, and Sanji team up. And yeah, they managed to separate most of the Navy soldiers, and got rid of two of the compartments, and they basically carry on. We get Sanji's fight against Wanzi, who is like,
he is an insult to cooks everywhere.
He's also just his design is just made to look like something that pisses me off. It's like, I swear, I look at him and I see Alice in Wonderland shit right there, and I'm like, ah, I hate this guy.
You're being Tweedledum, or wait?
I don't know, just in general, but yeah, and then we get more fights while Soge King goes after, tries to talk to Robin. He's like, hey, we need to leave, and then Robin is like hiding behind Robin, and is like, it's nothing, it's like, this looks suspicious. And it's just like, it's nothing, waving hands. And Robin's just like, ugh, I can't stand this. Yeah. And, yeah, what was also kind of, what was really neat with Sanji's fight against Wanzi is that this is the first time that he actually used his hands for fighting, because Wanzi uses a pasta battle suit. So Sanji is like, this isn't fighting, this is cooking. And he cuts the suit up, the arm up, and serves it as pasta. And yeah,
so Sanji could fight, he would use two knives, but he doesn't, because that's not how a chef would fight.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, he doesn't fight with his hands, especially not with his knives, because when his knives aren't weapons, and his hands, he needs them to cook, so he's not gonna dirty them with blood. Basically.
Oh, those chef players in RPG games just make no sense. Fine with their knives.
Yeah, that's probably a response.
Or frying pans.
Yeah, that's probably Oda's like, they'd never do that. They'd do something else.
Like, how am I gonna wash this blood off my frying pan now?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I can't cook with this. It's all dented. And yeah, so basically the volume is very much just a continual fight, with Sanji and Franky trying to save Robin, while Lucci is like, hey, you know what, she's kind of a, she's a threat to world peace, basically, and Robin is like, I don't want you people to save. I don't want you people to save me because, you know, it's for the better that we do this. That I go with them, and I really love the scene where Usopp, or well, Sogeking. Uses, like, actually manages to grab Robin, and he it's just so funny because it's like Usopp Sogeking being competent is just so unusual most of the time to see him be the one that actually accomplishes their goal originally is really funny.
So the only way for Usopp to accomplish his goal is to become Sogeking.
Pretty much, which is I think why people so much, you know, wanted Sogeking to return. But yeah, and so they keep trying to fight to get Robin back, but they you know, they end up at Enies Lobby. Or no wait. Yeah,
is Enies it Lobby. Enies or Enies?
I think it's Enies Lobby, yeah.
Oh, I keep saying Enies Lobby.
Pretty sure it's Enies, I'm not certain, but
yeah, Enies Lobby.
Yes. And we get to meet the other members of CP9 and everyone, Sanji and meets up with everyone else, and they decide, okay, full frontal attack, and they beat down the gates and start their attack, which Luffy, of course, going ahead, and we get to, yeah, that's kind of like the last chapter. We get them, you know, attacking, and we get find out that it's really kind of a trippy moment when we meet the giants that are the, you know, the gatekeepers of the island.
Oishi and Kashi.
Yeah.
Oimo and Kashi, sorry.
Yeah, because you see them, and they're freaking giants, and then you see the giants that were with,
the Franky family.
The Franky family, and you're like, oh, wait, those aren't giants. They're just very big humans. So it's just so weird where that
compares with, like, a regular human. I mean, a little kid, a regular average tall human, bigger than usual human, much bigger than usual human, and a giant.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, it's just so weird that where everyone's like, you know, in a world where people can be ridiculously huge, but to actually have actual giants is just, you know, I just don't get it, but it's amazing.
I really can't wait until they reach out to the island Elba.
Oh, they better. I'll be furious if they don't. It would be like them never going to Fishman Island. Oh, wait. Don't ruin it, Oda. Please, I'm begging you. Do Elba well. But yeah, so that was volume 39, and oh, jeez. These are hard to get through, not the reading. The reading was easy. The getting through these was hard because it's like freaking, jeez, so much material.
Content.
Yeah, and it's so many fights. I mean, honestly, I'm almost thinking that one of these years, what we'd need to do is just go through the darn series volume by volume. Like, you know, we could probably do something like that if we're still doing a podcast when One Piece ends. Just, you know, years later, just have a short segment each episode, you know, each week where we go over each volume one by one. And go in even more depth than we are right now.
Nick, we're 60 years old. We're still going to talk about One Piece. Back in my day, yep. One Piece was like this. And what? I haven't noticed this in all 60 years ago. What am I? Oh, I'm 70 years old now.
Yeah, that would be interesting to go in that much more detail. But yeah, so these three volumes are, like I said, I mean, we move, surprisingly for the amount of material that we have, we move pretty quickly because, you know, volume 37 being the majority flashback with volume 38 being them moving, you know, getting out of Water 7 and onto the train and chasing them, and then volume 39 continuing the chase while also getting them to Enies Lobby.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it moves really fast and we get through a lot. Even though there's a lot of material, it's just that's kind of one of the reasons why Oda is such a great manga artist to read, because there's so much material in each, you know, in each page. You know, each page is just so dense. It's like, you know, the amount of material that you know, that Oda gets through, it would take someone like Kubo like 10 volumes to get through.
Yeah.
That's why One Piece is one of my favorites, is that you just get so much material per chapter that when you read it all, you know, when you read it all volume by volume, it's just so much information.
But even better, even then, he doesn't give everything away. He only gives the most important things that he wants us to know and leaves the speculation to the readers to just, you know, figure on their own. Like, oh, this could happen. That's why you have the SBS corner and has fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. It is, definitely, it's like, you know, only the important material, but it also is, I mean, I would have to say that One Piece at this time was the densest manga, you know, at the time, out of all the other manga around. And, you know, I mean, there's still some manga that get close, but One Piece, just for pure story volume, you just can't get any better than One Piece as far as I'm concerned. And it makes reading it week by week just all the more satisfying, because you actually get enough material to read each week. And you also, when you read it through just volume by volume, it really is just this very nice experience, being able to, you know, it feels more like I wouldn't say like reading a book, but the amount of material that you get really doesn't feel like your average manga. So that's definitely a bonus there. But yeah. Okay. Let's see. I think that's about that. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nothing really relevant. I mean, as long as the whole, I like the Rokushiki. The introduction to Rokushiki.
Oh, yes, that. Yeah, I forgot that.
Freaking. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, so basically it's martial arts that makes the Bonnie's train to be like a weapon. That's kind of like, it's like guns. I don't need guns. I have my finger. My finger gun. Like, holy crap. Get away from me, you crazy psycho.
Yeah, and you've got Togashi is like, hey, wait a minute. Finger gun? What the heck?
Wait. What's finger gun in Hunter Hunter?
Yeah, you know, it's not in Hunter Hunter. It's in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Oh, the ray gun?
Yeah.
The ray gun, but it shoots out of the... Oh, okay.
But it's still, it's a finger and it's a gun, you know?
True. But he's just stabbing people with his finger.
Well, yeah, but he calls it a finger gun, so...
Get it. It should be called finger sword. Finger
knife or something like that.
She can.
I guess that works, but...
That wouldn't work, though. I guess she works better.
Yeah, story definitely introduces a lot of new things, like, you know, the Rokushiki techniques, which before now we'd never been introduced to, and which don't show up that much as heavily, you know, within the next
arc.
Yeah, the next everything after this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it definitely is kind of one of those ones. There's a lot of stuff coming in that just feels like, you know, power level readings and stuff that just feels like, hey, wait a minute, this is, this feels like you're trying to make it a little more shonen manga-ish, but, you know, which it, you know, because like with the more tropes added in, but then those tropes don't kind of get abandoned after a while.
Well, these guys are assassins, and, you know, assassins then tend to be trained pretty damn amazingly well.
Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with him introducing a bunch of stuff that's never really used again?
A good point. Well, actually, doesn't it get used again?
A little bit, but like during Marineford for a little bit, but it doesn't really show up all that much. Like, you know, the really powerful members of the world government don't really bother with it. So, and the power reading never comes up again.
That's true. So.
But, yeah. All right. And, yeah, so those are the volumes. Let's see. Was there anything else we wanted to add, or shall we move on to the next segment?
Okay, the CP9 characters that were introduced at the near end of the volume.
Yeah.
What do you think about them?
Interesting. Yeah, they're interesting. I can see why they weren't involved in the undercover work. because they kind of stick out just a little bit.
Like,
you know?
Like, what's his name? Fukuro? He's like, like, his freaking zipper mouth or something. Like, okay.
Yeah, they're very, yeah. They're just kind of like, you know, one guy has a zipper for a mouth, the other guy looks like a, whatchamacallit.
He looks like a guy from a no play, I think.
Or is it no, or is it Kabuki? Yeah, Kabuki, that's it. Yeah, he looks kind of like that. And then the other one, you just look at him and you're like, you're a wolf, aren't you? You just look like a human version of a wolf, so.
How do you know?
It's kind of obvious, but I remember when I first read it, I was like looking at that guy and I was like, oh dude, he's got the wolf fruit. And then when we discover what his wolf form looks like, I'm like, oh.
I like Umidori. It was funny. He was like, I'm looking into Fuku, and then I did not die. My God, he can't kill himself, but his body is so powerful, he can't kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the anime. I was like, just laughed my butt off so hard at that.
Yeah, it is. Yes, that was quite hilarious. Yeah, these volumes definitely quite amazing. All right, so for next week, we have volumes 40, 41, and 42. And now, after that, we run into a bit of a conundrum because the only volume I have after that is 43. And then, well, I have some other ones for the more recent ones. But what I'll probably do is get 44 and 45, but what I think we'll do after that is take a little break because I can't really afford to buy a bunch of manga at the moment. And I have a bunch that, you know, is here that I should be, you know, a bunch of manga sitting around that we need to go through. So in 2 weeks' time, we got next week and the week after that, where we'll still have manga, One Piece to read. After that, we're going to take a small break from One Piece, I think. We'll be 45 volumes in. We definitely got through a lot more than the first time we took a break. And so we'll take a break then, give me a chance to buy volumes 46 through 50. And then 54 through 65. Isn't actually that much now that I think about it, but yeah, I kind of have to do it like one by one, honestly, because otherwise I end up spending too much money at a time. And yeah, once I've got those bought again, we'll be going over some more manga. So we'll be going through over One Piece again. But for now, yeah, two more weeks of One Piece, then we'll take a break. What we're thinking of doing, besides the new volumes of manga that are coming out, what we're thinking of doing is going over Attack on Titan from Volume 1. So, all right. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that, Mo?
So it's just Volume 40, 41, and 42 of One Piece.
And then 43, 44, and 45.
Wait, I thought you won't be able
to... I can buy two more volumes, but... Oh. Yeah, and leaving it off at 45 seems like a better place to leave it off, you know?
Yeah, so, I like the divisible by 5.
Yeah. So, all right, and then okay. For now, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will get on to the next segment. It's time for the manga commentary section of Manga Cubed. This week, we are going over issue number 27 of Weekly Shonen Jump Online. For the week of June 2nd, 2014. And starting off, we have Toriko, chapter 279. And kind of start off with this cool little sort of narration about how, you know, oh, only a select few could walk this path, and their footprints created the path through the void, a space devoid of any road.
And yeah, it's kind of... Mm-hmm. It's called the Track of Success, and I remember hearing some things about back then. It's basically like a 2% of people would generally know what they want to do in their life. 99% of people just do whatever, just walk all around the place. And mm-hmm. I was part of a group that used to like talk about that stuff, and I was like, okay, and I thought it'd be 2%, but I was like, you know what? I'm part of the 1% that isn't any of those.
Uh-huh.
Hidden 1%.
Yep. Anyway. Well, Yeah, and so we meet Joie again, and the reason I call her Joie and not Froze is because we discover that the reason she looks like Froze and can use Froze's techniques is because her mother was Froze.
Now, wait, the question, her father?
Yeah, that's kind of the question I was asking. So it's kind of thing is like, is she Acacia's daughter? Was that what their relationship was, or did we completely misunderstand it? So. Yeah, I guess
she and Bakuro explain it to us.
Yeah,
please.
Or maybe it's an Anakin Skywalker kind of crap here.
Oh boy!
But yeah,
I don't call him my father. I just call him by his first name. Why?
Yeah, although I think one hint might be the fact that she's got those weird lines on her face and her eyes look kind of animalistic. So it's kind of hard to say, you know. I don't know. I think that's a hint towards what her, you know, who her parent actually is, her father actually is. Maybe some kind of, I don't know, maybe he's one of those gourmet nobility, the Blue Nitro, or something weird like that. Mm. Because she's talking to those Nitro, and I have to say they remind me, seeing them, all these different designs and others, and them wearing different clothes and everything, rather than the standard Nitro that we'd seen up until, you know, recently. They kind of remind me of the Skeksis from The Dark Crystal.
The what?
You never saw The Dark Crystal? The Skeksis.
What?
Seriously? You've never seen The Dark Crystal?
No, what the?
Okay, it's a Jim Henson movie. It's basically a fantasy movie, but they use puppets instead of actors. And the Skeksis are basically the bad guys. They're like these vulture-looking kind of monsters. And they kind of look like the Nitro look here, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe Shimakuro saw this movie and he's like, I know what to use and nobody will ever remember it. Nobody ever knows even what it's
no,
you.
No.
And I'm like,
no, there are plenty of people that remember this movie, you know.
But, no, I've never seen the movie.
Alright, well, man, the rest of the chapter is,
they escape the maze.
Oh, yes, that's what happened. Sorry, I got distracted by something on the page. Yeah, they escape the maze, and they're basically, oh, hey, look, we've escaped, and it's time for, we got all this treasure from the maze, and it's time for us to, you know, to eat and relax and everything, and they make their way to Hex Food World, and the last panel is a familiarly covered foot wearing a familiar kind of sandal thingy, whatever they're called in Japanese.
Not just evil twin, I mean.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so, yeah. That was that chapter, and I think it was a really interesting chapter just because the bit that we got to see Joie in kind of gives us the idea, kind of lets us know, hey, here's a little hint as to what's going on, and, you know, I'm interested to see how that carries on.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see what the other Neo guys were doing.
Yeah, and there was also that interesting bit where Komatsu's friend, who looks like he has a slightly different hairdo right now, he apparently can see more than just the one path. So it looks like he too might have food luck the way Komatsu does.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm curious.
Otake has become useless.
Yeah.
Otake, oh, that guy. Well, now it's about Komatsu's friend. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. There's also, there's some extra things. They had some fans draw the food ideas at a panel in Fanime. And they have two ideas that they posted here, one of which is the nose crab, which is basically a lobster-looking thing with a big nose. And the other one is...
I would not trust eating that.
Yeah. And the other one is a sweet and sour spider whose web is made of sugar, while its venom is the most sour liquid around. Let's see, one cannot be eaten with the other, and they form the most perfect sweet and sour sauce. So... basically, this is kind of silly.
I wonder how many arachnophobes actually tried to attack this screen when they saw the picture of the fire.
I wonder how many attacked the kid in the panel when they suggested that. It's like, no!
You know, we don't advocate killing you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, and it's basically,
a pretty good idea, though. I like the spider one.
Yeah, I like, Yeah, it's definitely clever. It had more thought going into it. It's the sugar is basically on its sugar on the sugar on its own, instant diabetes. The sour by itself, basically your face puckers so much that it concaves and it's a slow death. So it has to be cooked, it has to be cooked and balanced right, or the sauce will taste terrible. Also, the sauce will kill you. So,
Wait, oh crap, slow death. I just
yeah,
saw that.
I like this idea. This was fun. It's a fun, even though with the spider, I'm like, no, darn you, no.
Well, in certain countries, people eat spiders.
Yeah, well, I'm not in one of those countries. I'm in one of the sane countries.
Asian countries, because we're so poor, we have to eat whatever we can eat.
Yeah, I'm just from one of the countries whose where or my ancestors were from countries where we were so obsessed with drinking that white stuff that came out of cows that we went against our biology to do so, and eventually evolved the ability to be lactose tolerant.
I'm lactose tolerant too. I'm special.
Yeah, I'm just saying, without the Western European and the Middle Easterners deciding they really, really want to drink milk, no humans would be able to drink milk.
True.
So anyway, carrying on, we go to Hunter Hunter, where we have another kind of recap thingy, and I'm just thinking, it's like, you know what? I don't want to read these because I kind of want to actually read the comics themselves.
Well, that makes you, then that's, then they did their job. Now you gotta go read the comics themselves.
Yeah, so yay, good job, people. And oops, oh, my copy of volume one is a little bent. Oh well, I need to be more careful. Anyway, yeah, so with that, let's talk about the actual chapter. Chapter 341, Hunt the Forbidden.
There's one.
And I have to say, I'm not going to bother doing a recap because, quite frankly, I have no idea what the hell is going on.
Neither do I. I just want to comment on what I've read.
Yeah, I like the art and the designs. I like how you have characters here that are very specifically meant to be, are designed to be Caucasian. Like the first two people that we meet, or at least the one guy, he's very clearly meant to be Caucasian, and it's nice that you can tell the difference
Which
in
guy? You mean the short guy?
the taller guy. Well, I
Okay.
think both of them are, but the taller guy more obviously.
The short guy reminds me of Ichigo for some reason.
A little bit, yeah. But, it's just nice that Togashi's art is good enough that, he can draw characters that are very clearly meant to be a specific ethnicity without having everyone look the same. It's not like you draw a Japanese, like some artists, where they'll draw a Japanese character and they'll draw an American character, and the only way they have to make the character look American is by, one, making it a woman, two, giving her giant breasts, blonde hair, and a tank top that is an American flag.
Wait.
I'm not saying any specific one, I'm just saying in general. That's kind of when I imagine the average American character in manga or anime, that's how she always seems to be drawn.
Yeah, so about the 2-page panel where they had some very disturbing
Oh, yeah.
some images of what appeared to once be human,
Or pieces of them.
the one with the torso.
Yeah, that was, I was like, moving on.
I am terrified now.
Yeah, I guess the idea, what we find out, the idea here is that these are the leftovers of the people that went into this dangerous, forbidden area.
More terrified than ever now.
Yeah, and you see the thing that was, it's no longer human, it's self-sustaining and still alive. I'm just like, okay, gross. But yeah, and then we do a nice transition from the introduction of this is the aftermath to here, study this stuff at home and write a report. And then you go from that guy reading stuff about and watching videos about, what's going on. And then you see the cut to these other people who, I guess, they're the Hunter Association.
They're known as the Zodiacs. They consist of a chosen group of people, I guess, that
Yeah, who represent certain animals is what I gathered, and they're basically given by the previous head of their group, who's telling them, "Hey, you should go You know, I want you to go do this thing, but I'm not. It's not an order, and so on. So,
Oh my goodness, you're right. They do represent certain animals.
Yeah, I really like.
I just want that.
I really like the designs where some of them are a little more obvious than others. Like the guy that's the cow, or the boar, or whatever, has like, you know, a helmet with horns on it, and he has like black spots all over his face and clothes. And the one that's like the dog is very clearly a dog. But I kind of like the design of the monkey, where he doesn't necessarily look like a monkey so much. He just kind of looks like the typical design, sort of like that you'd imagine for the Monkey King in the Journey to the West.
Yes.
Kind of reminds me of that. Let's see what else. What are some of the other ones? Some of them I don't know. The one woman that, let's see, you've got the one lady that's meant to be the snake. I guess she's the snake. At least I think that's she's the one that's the snake. She kind of looks like Morticia from the Addams Family, you know, kind of that tall, slender, long dark hair. And I am kind of amused by how if she's meant to be the snake, you know, she's drawn with a massive rack, which I'm just like, she's really tall and slender, and like, you know, throughout her entire body and her neck and whatnot. But then you just get the torso and these massive breasts, and I'm like, all right then, yeah, that's totally a snake. Very snake-like. But yeah.
Snake-like.
And yeah, so we basically, yeah.
It took me a while to figure out who this guy that they caught was, and I was like, wait a second. They were just talking about a while ago. Oh, they caught all fast.
Yeah, I think that this chapter was actually surprisingly new reader friendly. You know, I mean, we don't know, we haven't seen anything from the actual main characters of the series, but it introduces, you know, the basic premise this arc very well. And from what I understand, the arc's kind of, you know, standalone pretty well. And so this was surprisingly easy to jump into. I mean, the Zodiac people, they, you know, they're pretty easy to figure out that, one, they represent animals. They're like, they're an elite group, and they're the, you know, they're the head of the Hunter Association and everything. And, you know, you just kind of, it's framed well enough that it makes sense, and I can understand what's going on without having read the rest of the series.
True. Well, yeah. I kind of do want to read the rest of the series, as it gives Togashi to believe in. Yeah, benefit of the doubt. There you go.
Yeah, and I mean, the art looks great. Definitely much better than what I remember from Yu Yu Hakusho. And yeah, we'll kind of see what happens from here on. But all right, let's move on to chapter 749, Onward Gallery.
What about the mention of the last page of those five things?
Oh yeah, but it's the, I don't know, it didn't seem like it was
the
really
fifth
important.
One. Definitely, the fifth one, I bet, is actually that thing that we saw in the beginning of the chapter a while ago.
Oh yeah, thing, yeah.
I was like, it looks just like that thing. I'm quite sure that's the thing it was.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're immortal, endless despair disguised as hope. I kind of like that. Yeah, it kind of introduces, like, these are the main, you know, these are the five threats brought back from the Dark Continent. And so, yeah.
Those things are scary.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the heck the Brion thing can do. I mean, the other four look scary enough, but that one just looks like, might just explode your head or something if you looked at it too much.
Yeah.
Looked at it too much.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. So we'll kind of see where it goes from here. All right, let's talk about chapter 749 of One Piece.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a nice little cover page there. You've got Dadon dreaming of the kids. He's got a little tear in her eye. And so it's kind of adorable. Mm-hmm. Yep. But moving on, the chapter itself is, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's mostly, you know, all the different Colosseum fighters showing off their ability, their powers and everything against the random, you know, mooks.
And, mooks.
Yeah. And, yeah, they try to fight Pika, but then Luffy and Moosey charge up the bull, charge up Pika's arm, and they're like, go! Moosey. He's like, that's right, Bo, go, go, go. And Luffy looks back, and you see Abdullah and Jeter still on the bowl with him, and he's just got this expression. He's like, what are you guys doing here?
Pardon me, my name is Jeter, and the large gentleman behind me is Abdullah. I should search. I wasn't asking.
It's pretty funny. It's just like there's that expression where he just looks behind him and he's like, you guys aren't supposed to be here.
I haven't seen that expression so long. I mean, I think probably the last time I've seen that might have been from like back before Skypiea with I think Wobble.
No, it was during the fight with the last time I remember it, or at least from our rereads, is during the fight with Enaru.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Enaru is throwing all his lightning and it's not doing anything, and Luffy's just like, So, this time it looks a little different because his eyes are drawn a lot more round, and his lips aren't as exaggerated as much, and it's really funny, yeah. And, yeah, so Luffy just blasts Pika's giant head off, and then Zoro's like, it's like, you know, he's just plain stone now, and then Pika shows up, and I guess he had a sword inside his stone body. And it's so weird, because of the way that Pika's body is designed, with the tiny legs and the massive arms, the sword looks like it's about the right size for his upper body, but the blade looks way longer than it should be for someone that tall, you know? It's like it's too long for how tall he is, even though he's really tall, but the handle looks about the right size for his upper body, so you're just like, if he were designed more proportionally, that would be the perfect size. But as it is, it looks excessively large while at the same time being just the right size.
It's One Piece. Everyone in the series is usually larger than the main characters.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just proportionally, he looks so weird. It's like his arms are way larger than they should be for his legs. He's kind of like Franky. Almost exactly like Franky, actually.
But funny how Franky doesn't face off against him.
Yeah, no, but, you know, they give him a sword because, hey, Zoro's going to fight this one. And, yeah, so
Zoro's like, I got this. Like, of course you do.
Yep, and, well, yeah, Pika realizes that, oh, hey, Luffy, you know, Luffy's going to, he can deal enough damage to my stone form that, you know what, I'm just going to not be in my stone form. I'm just going to get out my sword and fight him. So, yeah, and then let's see. Then we continue fighting, and then Law just, yeah, we have the scene with Law where he's saying, okay, look, I originally have this plan, but you know what? I really want to beat up Doflamingo. And it's like, we discover 13 years ago, Doflamingo murdered someone that I loved. And we're just, And so you're thinking, it's like, romantic interest, okay. And then it turns out his name was Corazon. He was once a supreme officer in the Doflamingo family, and he was the one that gave me my life. He was Doflamingo's younger brother. And I'm just thinking, wait. My first reaction was, wait, so is Law gay? Is that where Oda's going?
When you think about it, what was the name of Law's crew?
Well, the Heart Pirates. I mean, obviously.
The Heart Pirates. Corazon translate to in English?
Heart, yeah, but. Yes. You know, I mean, but, you know, like, so that's where, you know, he named his pirates after this person that was important to him. But sort of kind of the question here is, does he mean love as in romantic love? Which would be interesting, because I never would have thought that One Piece of all places would get, you know, weigh in on any social issues or anything like that. But I actually don't think that's the case. I think a lot of people are going to interpret it like that. I think it's meant to be non-romantic love.
Admiration.
Yeah, you know, sort of like familial love kind of deal, you know, because the thing to keep in mind is that this person died 13 years ago. Law is about 24. So he was about 11 at the time. So 11 is too young to be romantically involved with anyone, no matter whether they're the same gender of you as you or not, you know? Yep. Just in general, I don't think Oda is going to go the route of, he was romantically involved with a man when he was 11 years old, and please ignore this giant bag of money that Nambla gave me. There we go.
I got it. I got
There
it.
we go. Yeah, I mean, just for the fact that, I mean, maybe they were both the same age and that was, you know, and they were romantic involved with each other, but I highly doubt it because Oda won't even let his 19-year-old protagonist be romantically interested in anyone. I don't think he's about to have an 11-year-old be romantically interested in anyone. So, I'm pretty sure it's meant to be like, you know, Kurozone was basically like a father to him. You know, I think that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah, well, we won't know until 2 weeks from now.
Yep, because Oda is going to get his tonsils removed because pretty much all the health problems he's been having for the past little while are all related to the fact that his, you know, tonsils are getting infected. So this will be, not only will it be good for him because it, you know, it means that he won't constantly be getting an infection in his tonsils, but it also means that chances are he'll take fewer breaks after this.
Although also, go ahead.
Yeah.
Just to point out, your tonsils can be infected usually because you get sick too much or stress. I get stressed and I know my tonsils can sometimes, one time my tonsils went black, I told that was actually okay. When it goes white or red, that's bad.
Huh. I haven't even ever looked at my tonsils, but
yeah, I can tell when my throat starts to feel really weird, like the back of my throat starts to feel like a little burning or a warm sensation that's not, you know, right. And I go to the mirror, I open my mouth and look in the back and go, oh, look, tonsil crap. That's not good at all.
I don't even remember if I still have them. I'm pretty sure I still have them.
Everyone usually has tonsils, but the only time you really take them out is if they get infected to the point where they really do not want to be kept.
Yeah,
that's why my little sister had her tonsils removed last January because she kept getting sick all the time, and ever since she got rid of it, she doesn't get sick anymore. So
yeah, so
this would be good for Oda. This would be very good for Oda.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll kind of see. I'm kind of surprised that he's only taking 2 weeks off. Honestly, I'd say, you know, after surgery, you'd probably want to take a month off. But oh well, if he thinks that he'll be okay after 2 weeks and get back into it, then works for me.
You can just eat ice cream.
Yes, that too. Well, I imagine that'd probably be better than he usually eats.
And then when they come back with the color spread, I mean, I feel like, didn't we see this before?
Probably. Yeah. All right, let's see. And basically there's also a note in the volume saying that, you know, he's getting the operation, so he won't be in, One Piece won't be in the volumes on the 9th and the 16th, but the week after that, they're back.
I'm assuming he gets it this week, so he takes those 2 weeks off to recuperate.
I think that's what the...
Next 2 weeks off to recuperate.
I think that's what it is, yeah. The series, I think it may have already happened, because, you know, this chapter was written, like in a week in advance or whatnot.
A week in
two
advance.
Weeks in advance, so, you know, I think it's probably already happened. He's just, you know, they changed the schedule a little bit.
He's probably already taken a week. He's already going to be taking a whole month off by the time he gets back. I'm back. A month.
Yeah, chances are that the way the scheduling work, he's already taken 2 weeks off, and now he's using the 2 weeks where there are no chapters to go ahead and, you know, write the next two chapters. Mm. But, yeah, and so let's move on to World Trigger Chapter 62.
The color page.
Indeed, it's nice. I kind of like the coloring. It's a much more, it's a more Photoshop kind of coloring than the traditional coloring you get with some manga artists. But it's nice. And, yeah, so let's see. This chapter itself, yeah, it's more fighting. I have to say, I really like the scene where you find out that the one guy has, like, this really powerful trigger that just slices everything and everywhere.
What's the National Treasure doing here? Oh, crap, National Treasure.
that's not good. But, yeah. Overall, I like this chapter. It was all right, but it wasn't the best chapter that I've, seen of World Trigger. And so, yeah. I think it was okay, but it was a little unfocused for me to really get into it. But I did like the way it ended with the reveal that the dude's got, like, the best cutting power ever. Like, he just cuts everything around him.
My staff will cut everything.
Yeah, it's like you can't even guard against it. It's just, you know, it's yeah, it just it cuts behind everything. So
Next chapter, we'll find out how he did it.
Yep, so it was a good chapter.
Yeah, it was.
Indeed. All right, moving on to Stealth Symphony, Chapter 14, Mad Dog Millionaire.
Yeah, the problem with this chapter, I have to say, is that we know more, we learn more about the guy that wants to kill Alice more than we know about the main character themselves.
Yeah.
And that's bad writing.
It kind of is, but I don't know, the whole thing with, him getting like, oh, I want fiber in my food, or I need a new seasoning, so I'll grind up these pictures of Alice and eat them. And I'm just like, that's stupid.
That you're psychotic. You're obsessively psychotic.
Well, yeah, but even just,
You're less buff version of crocodile, you.
yeah, it's just, in general, just this guy, I'm just kind of thinking, yeah, this is just weird and doesn't make any sense, but. Yeah, well, we turns out he's decides to be a jerk and hires, Troma and Alice to be his bodyguards. And then we also, yeah, and then they the police tell Jake, hey, come in. We want you to want you to identify the or this man who's the orphanage director. And even though he's behind a two-way a one-way mirror or two-way whatever, the kind where you can only see through
One-way
one side,
mirror.
yeah. And the guy says, hello, Jig. And then Jig is like, the orphanage director is a woman. And is like, who is this guy? And then he transforms into a dragon. And they're like, oh, crap, it's a
And
dragon.
the dragon.
Yep, so that's bad. And then we discover that the person that Crazy Pants has been talking to is the orphanage director who is. Coming to say is like I'll keep my promise, Jig, and I'm like, wait, what promise? What's going on here?
What's up for I?
I don't know. I mean, I do like where this is going. It raises a lot of questions, which is good, but at the same time, it's also a little, it also kind of feels like, again, we don't know enough about the characters to really get invested in them, and so these two, yeah, so. We really need more time, just like, some chapters focusing on the characters and building the characters as opposed to getting into these big stories filled with intrigue. And so, I don't know. I think this, yeah, it's this is interesting. I
It's
definitely,
probably gonna wrap up.
probably, but I kind of like the direction that we're going here with this. I think it will be interesting to find out what's going on, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to really feel invested because I don't know anything about these characters, like I said. So, eh, it's all right.
Was all right. Like, yeah, it was okay. But it really could do better.
Yep, all
Much
right.
better.
Yeah, speaking of much better, no, we're not. Naruto chapter 678.
Segue right there.
Yeah, I also just want to kind of point out how I'm absolutely amused by I'm amused by the fact that people still think that Sasuke and Sakura hooking up is a actual legitimate ship still. When basically the first thing this chapter is Sakura saying, "Hey, what's going on?" And Sasuke is like, "What difference does it make to you? There's nothing you can do about it." And I'm like, "People, if you ship this, you ship abusive relationships, and I think you should go to hell."
You got to make a. You have to make a demotivation poster of that.
Yeah. It's like, I just take that panel, and then just the only caption is true love. And then that also applies to Kakashi because Sasuke is an ass to him, and people wonder why I don't like this character and why I think that everything bad about this series is connected to this stupid character. Yeah, but then Naruto's like, dude, stop being an asshole. And yeah, so and then everyone's like, there's like, oh, everyone's trapped inside a dream, and we get to see some of the people's dreams, and one of them is Hinata on a date with Naruto, and I'm like, yeah, in your dreams, kid.
Yeah, Negi is dead, and
Yeah,
the
and yeah, her sister, the Hanabi, that's it, yeah.
Hanabi.
Yeah. And you've got all the others. You've got Kiba's like, I'm the Hokage, and there's going to be a holiday called the Dog Day.
That's the best dream ever.
And I love Shino's because it's like, I've finally found it, a new species. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's discovered Mothra. And you've got Choji.
Choji.
It was like, oh, look, all this food and a girl. And like, there's a girl, and she's all, I think gluttons are so sexy. And
his dad's like, you finally found a fan.
And I'm like, what the crap? And skipping the next one for just a sec, Ino's is kind of hilarious, even though it just shows how shallow she is, where she's basically imagining, well, one, she imagines her dad is still alive. But she imagines Sasuke and Sai fighting over her. You've got Rock Lee, who imagines having defeated all the other more powerful characters. It's like, Sakura's like, I love you. Tenten's is hilarious because what's his name?
Rock Lee and Guy?
No, the other one.
Oh, Neji.
Neji, yeah. She imagines Neji is alive. Seems to be a theme there. But she's also, it's like Rock Lee and Guy is like, adults must always conduct themselves with cool. Lee is like, right. It's like, we don't need to butt in anymore. And then you've got Mei, who just, I don't know, it seems kind of odd having her there because she hasn't really been developed all that much, but her dream is getting married to some random good-looking guy. And so I'm like, eh, okay.
I was trying to look for whoever this guy was, and he never appeared.
So. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he's just meant to be random good-looking guy. Tsunade's is kind of heartbreaking because she just imagines everyone she loves still being alive. Although you kind of feel like, in her ideal world, Jiraiya still isn't getting any. he's just there corrupting her younger brother. And, yeah, Gaara's, I'm just like, okay, this one has the most impact because, you know, just he's gotten a lot of development throughout the series. And, you know, his mom's still alive. His family don't hate him. And him and Naruto are best friends. And they go out and play. And now, okay, to go back, the one that I don't, that I'm just trying to figure out is, Shikamaru's, where he sees, I don't know, yeah, he sees his parents, his mom nagging at his dad, and he sees Asuma and Kurenai, which they don't seem to be unhappy or anything. They're just kind of standing there with their kid. But Shikamaru's like, marriage is way too bothersome to me. I think I'll pass. You've got Temari right next to him is like, yeah. And I'm just trying to figure out, wait, does that mean, he's like, what on earth does this mean, basically? Does it mean, does it mean that he, in real life, she wants to marry him or something? And that's why he's like, my dream is her agreeing with me not wanting to get married, which would be really weird if that's the case, because it's never been brought up. But I don't know. I think it's mostly just Kishimoto sticking with what is, I guess, is become the only non-controversial fanship in the series. So, I don't know. The dreams, they are entertaining. In some cases, heartbreaking in some others. And
like Gar, but it actually makes sense if the world was actually a completely different
place. Yeah, with it, for him, it makes sense. Let's see. And then, yeah, they managed to get out, I guess, the moon was, the Rinnegan has, the infinite Tsukuyomi has passed, basically. The moon isn't, actively reflecting it anymore, so they're able to, leave the covering, but, everyone else is trapped except for them, and so they're going to fight. But then it turns out that the Zetsu is actually not on the side of Madara. Turns out he is not Madara's will incarnate. He is the will of Kaguya. I'm like, this really would be a lot more interesting if this wasn't a character that was introduced literally 5 chapters ago, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? And so
I am actually the main bad girl. Wait,
bad guy or something. It's like, I don't know. If it turns out that what's happening to Madara is he morphs into Kaguya. You know what, I've said this many a time, but I'm done. If it turns out the main big bad guy isn't even the guy who was most recently introduced. Because, I mean, keep in mind, you know, we could have Orochimaru as the main bad guy. He was around for a long time. Then he was ignored. And then we had the new big bad guys, which was the Akatsuki. Then they were ignored because we had the new big bad guy, which was Tobi. Then he's been ignored and introduced the new big bad guy, Madara. And it's like, oh, it was always about him. And I'm just like, not really. It really wasn't. This really is a more recent thing. But if it turns out that he, like, metamorphs into Kaguya, and then I'm just going to be like, okay, look, I know you're terrible with bad guys, but you seriously think that the big bad can be someone you only just introduced, like, a month ago, if that, then, good gosh, you're an idiot. I don't know, this chapter was all right. I mean, the dreams were entertaining, but then the whole, oh, I am actually Kaguya as well, and I'm like, oh, yay, look, this thing happened in regard because of this thing that was only just recently introduced. That part was stupid. And also the whole Sasuke being a jackass to Sakura, I don't know. That was entertaining because I like to imagine people trying to excuse it and say, oh, no, they actually are totally going to end up together at the end, even though he's a jackass. And it's totally going to be satisfying, even though if they do end up together at the end, and that's totally what Kishimoto is going for, it will pretty much be the thing that makes me decide, you know what, this is a piece of shit. Because I do not support abusive relationships.
I won't read any by this creator anymore.
Yeah, in real life or in manga, I do not support abusive relationships. Alright, let's see.
We do not condone it.
Alright, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about chapter 21 of Seraph of the End, shall we?
Yeah.
This one was weird because I'm like, is this one a girl or a boy? I don't know this demon, but I don't know. We get some of his flash of what's his face.
I don't know what his first name was.
Shiho or something. He's like, oh, look, he's a flashback. Shiho. And all these other kids like, hey, we need to kill your little sister so we can keep going. You need to come with us because you're the only one that can drive. And I'm like, you people do realize that he has the bargaining chips here, right? You know, it's like, oh, you need to drive. You can drive, so you need to come with us, so we're going to take this thing from you. And it's like, you're not giving him any incentive to do that. You're saying, oh, hey, you have to do this thing for us, so you have to do this other thing for us first. And it's like, no. But, yeah, I don't know. It plays this whole, oh, you wish that she were dead because she was a burden and everything. And I'm like, eh, nah. I don't know. He does the whole, now I have friends and everything. So it turns out he connects with his demon as well, and they both somehow, despite being the possession types, manage to use special powers, which, I don't know. It's interesting. They're basically, oh, this isn't normal. What are these guys? And so on. So,
like, wait, how did you do that?
Yeah,
that's kind of funny though.
It is kind of building up this whole, oh hey, something really awful is going to happen, sense that we've been getting from the series. So, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah,
it was. I don't know. I didn't care for this chapter as much. I wasn't that invested in it.
No, I didn't. I just lost in here because I mean, even though it was just a dream, it's just kind of like a dream when he was finding the demon. I was like, okay, those kids are just jerks.
Yeah, that's.
I mean. What's to stop them from just trying to drive the car themselves? I mean, it's not like there's any adults that actually watch them drive.
Well, I mean, you do need to know how to drive, for one.
Well, I've seen characters know how to drive, and they still can't drive anyway, but they can drive somehow.
Yeah, but
after crashing the car a million times.
Yeah, I guess in
like
this
one. Like when you crash the car.
Yeah, well, I guess in this one they're trying to be more realistic in that aspect, but I don't know. It was, I didn't care for the chapter. But it didn't make me angry.
The coffin is crazy, though. Mm. I was like, whoa, that's scary.
Yeah, that, I'm like, man, I want to see this, what this does. All right, let's do one more chapter before I need to head out. Let's do Nisekoi, chapter 124, Lady. So, yeah, it's basically Paula and Tsugumi are need to break into this ship and steal this information from a gang boss.
They're doing reconnaissance, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and then Paula ends up eating too much ice cream and getting sick, and Tsukumi's like, we need to be dressed up as a guy and a girl pair, this, otherwise we can't get in here. And then randomly Raku was just fishing at the shore at the
random Raku.
And Tsukumi is like, you're coming with me. And they swap out clothes. For somehow she has Paula's clothes, which I don't know where those came from.
But
she decides that, hey, that the outfit is too small for her. So she needs to get something else, and she puts on, and somehow she's able to do her, in the putting on the clothes, she not only puts on the dress, but she also does up her hair, and puts on makeup and earrings and other jewelry, even though the point was just to figure out whether, this would be a good dress to wear, and according to Raku's reaction, yes, that is a good dress to wear. Yeah, and Tsukumi has some great expressions this chapter. It goes from right immediately, where she's like, what was I expecting anyway? And she's kind of looks pissed. And then the attempt at a smile, which is...
Oh, yeah,
That's the face for the chapter for me. And
that's
I also, too. And I like, is like, oh, you need to, talk more feminine or more politely, so use the polite tone you use when you talk to Onodera and the others, try talking like Tachibana. It's like Tachibana, I reckon I'll try, but I ain't sure. It's like, not that
Tachibana.
It's like not when she talks in a dialect. Yeah, so I don't know, it's kind of the whole talking in a polite tone is somewhat lost on in translation. But yeah, so, and then other than that, we kind of got the typical, hey, look, this character that doesn't think she's good looking, turns out she's a knockout, and all these guys want to get to know her better. And then Raku,
she's a high school student.
Yes she is. It's like, you perverts. No, but yeah, and then Raku is like, hey, she's like, she's my fiance, basically, you leave her alone. And he actually manages to act, he isn't wishy-washy in the scene where most other main characters would have been. And you kind of get the sense of, oh yeah, he'd probably be used to this. I mean, his family, he is the son of a mafia, of a Yakuza family, so he probably...
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that's what was in this series from the very beginning too.
Yeah, I know, so he probably wouldn't be all that unfamiliar with attending functions like this, or with being confident and whatnot. So that's kind of interesting, but
then he says like playing Romeo and Juliet, Romeo again.
Yeah, and you also have kind of more of the whole, I'm gonna tell you how attractive you are, and then not realize how that would affect you. But yeah. And yeah, so they follow and then we kind of end it on the best place ever, because they follow the boss that she needs to steal the thing from, and then it turns out that he's obsessed with bunnies, as in girls in those outfits with the ears and the stuff.
Call them bunny costume.
Yeah, bunny costume. But yeah, and it's like he's monopolizing all of the bunnies we have, and then Raku they just stare, and then Raku looks at
Tsukumi,
yeah. It's too many T's, yeah. Looks at Tsukumi and she's just like, huh? What?
No.
Yeah, yes. So I guess next chapter we get to see her in a bunny outfit, which, dear readers, please do remind, this is a high school character. This character is in high school.
I bet next chapter we won't, because somehow that's the expectation, we'll probably miss it or something, maybe.
I could see that. I don't know. I don't think... she has quite that sense of humor. I mean, if this were someone like, what's his face, the guy that does Zettai Karin Children, he totally has that kind of sense of humor where he'll set up a shower scene, but then it turns out it's a shower scene conversation between the guys. And so it's like, it's like they're all discussing these things, like, just the way that girls would be doing in a manga where it's fan service, except it's a bunch of naked guys, most of them in their like late 20s to early 30s, and you're just like, I need an adult. But yeah, so this chapter was a lot of fun.
Violated and getting
Yeah, this chapter was a lot of fun, mostly because I just really liked Sugumi's reactions to everything. And so
it's just rare. Usually you don't like a Sugumi-centric chapter.
They tend to be a bit samey, but in this case we get good reactions from her. And it's not, you know, it is the, oh, look at how sexy this character that normally doesn't dress sexily is. But then at the same time, you know, her reactions really kind of sell me on the whole thing. So
the way she looks almost reminds me of Ada Wong from Resident Evil.
A bit, yeah, I can see that. But yeah,
if
general,
that dress turns out to be red, if Sirika animated that part and the dress turns out to be red, I'd be like, yep, Ada Wong, right?
Yeah. I don't know, I'm thinking more maybe blue, I'm not sure. More. Anyway.
She wore red.
Yeah, well, okay, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll carry on with the chapter commentaries in a little bit, okay? It's time for Bleach Chapter 5. Oh, hey, look, Kubo was nice and actually decided to put the chapter number right on the first page. Yay! So, this chapter was, reminds me of the Goku arriving on Namek. You know, where it's just showing all the guy, you know, what are their names again? The Ginyu Force trying to fight against Ichigo, but turns out they aren't, you know, he just overpowers them.
Right. Stern Ritter.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like in Dragon Ball with the Stern Ritter being the Ginyu Force in this case, and Ichigo's just basically overpowering them. What I did kind of like was that you get to find out that, hey, they actually do have bows. Because that's one thing that I've always thought was really weird about this arc. Was that they don't have any, they don't have bows. At least I don't recall any of them having bows. Well, with this, the girls pull out bows and actually use, you know, still tied to their powers somewhat, but they actually use their weapons. So that was kind of nice because
they all use bows?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, I didn't think of that. I was like, yeah, wait a second. Right, Blonde just follow the boat. Yeah, she did.
They all do. yeah, it kind. That's kind of one thing that kind of was.
When they shoot Ichigo in the knee.
yeah. Welcome to 2012. Yeah, I think that's just kind of like what was known as 2011 when that came out. But yeah.
11.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know, because that's one thing that's kind of been bugging me is that up until this point, everything the manga had said was that Quincy used bows, and then none of these Quincy used bows, and I was just thinking, what the heck is going on here? But now they are using them, so I guess it is basically they have these special powers that they're given, but they're, you know, but they still use bows, so that's nice.
Reminds me of the Offscouring from Drifters.
Mm, a little.
You know how they die, and then they end up having these powers based off the circumstance that they died under?
I guess, kinda. Maybe. Sorta.
By the way, Drifters is a series by Hirano Koda.
Koda, yeah. We should take a look at that one sometime, but yeah, so with Ichigo arriving, it looks like we are finally moving into the climax of the arc. So, It was an alright chapter. I mean, I enjoyed it enough. It wasn't the greatest chapter of Bleach ever. Just
at least the main character is there. That's the only reason why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, just in general, this arc isn't going to produce any greatest chapters of Bleach ever.
It never will.
Yeah, which is a shame, but whatever. Alright, let's see. We've got All You Need Is Kill, Chapter 17.
Also known as the final chapter.
Yep, where Keiji beats Rita, and it's all, oh, it is sad that she is dying. Would have been nice if we could have, you know, had more time to get used to these characters, but whatever. I don't know, Keiji, we got a pretty good handle on. Rita, on the other hand, was, we didn't really get a sense of who she was, really, which was a shame.
The narrator just said, and question mark, like, oink. Like, wait, sensor bar was, I'm like, wait, sensor bar?
Yeah.
Let's call the real Rita sensor bar from now. No, it's Cesar again.
Yeah.
Dang it, we could have gotten a joke. Sensor bar from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, Still, yeah, it was an okay chapter. I mean, it was, you know.
There was the part where when Katie walked into her room as they were like cleaning up and stuff, and he was saying her smell. His friend was like, "Wait, her smell?" I'm like, I guess they did do something before the fight.
Yeah. Oh well. It's yeah. I kind of get the feeling that I want to read the actual book to see what it is. You know,
Japanese.
What the book. You know, maybe I don't know. I can probably find a translation of it, but. You know, I mean, just in general, this kind of, I don't know, this was a short manga, and it was okay, but kind of hard to really get that invested in it.
Yeah.
Just because it was so short. It was but only 17 chapters.
That one female character was practically pointless now. Just...
Oh, gosh, she was completely pointless. And so I was like, okay, why are you going to draw a character with that obvious fan service if they're not going to do anything later on? So, oh well. That was that.
I hope the Tom Cruise version would be better.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
A little bit of a segue. Just a little bit off topic. Haven't been off topic in a while, baby. Mm-hmm. But apparently, I found out that apparently the Japanese love Tom Cruise so much they made a holiday based on him. Tom Cruise Day. I'm like...
That's kind of weird, but okay.
Yeah, so...
It's actually kind of hilarious.
Tom Cruise is going to be at you tomorrow. Let's go watch it now. Maybe.
Oh, hey, look. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is the... No, I think that's the...
He is starring in Edge of Tomorrow. Based off the novel that the manga is based off of.
Yeah.
Comic is based off of.
Yeah, I think the manga... Yeah,
novel came first.
Yeah, I think it does look like the... Actually, yeah, the novel is available. It's translated. This is the actual novel because they have the graphic novel version right here as well. Which, kind of curious about that one, but I'm gonna buy this.
Okay.
Twink. All right, let's talk about One Punch Man Chapter 34, Part 3. Hey, wait a minute. Well, this is kind of an odd chapter. You know why?
Because we've read it before, haven't we?
Yes, we did. And there's a note saying that this is a revision of a previously published chapter. But what it's basically done is it's eradicated the existence of the previous chapters. Of the chapters that came after the first version of this. And I'm kind of looking at this and thinking, that's weird that they would do that. That's not normal, but I guess that's one thing that makes One Punch Man more endearing. The only thing that really changes, and it's been a while since I read the first version of this chapter, is the way the fight happens. I guess there's a lot less talking and a lot more action.
I didn't even know that. I just skimmed it. Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
And the angles from which they do the explosion thing and the freaking explosion is a lot more epic.
Freaking explosion.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, that's basically what changed. And then Saitama gets punched in the back of the head. And apparently that does something. Does it hurt him? We don't know. Oh. We shall have to find out. All right, then. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, there's not much to say there. All it just means is that, all it really means is that we're going to basically retread some ground for a little while here. But, yeah. I don't know.
It's good, though, because, you know, it's been a while. Like, hey, you remember this series? Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, it has been a while, but I'm okay with it. All right, then, so the next... chapter that we need to discuss. Let's see.
We don't have a chapter 9 of Assassination Classroom.
Oh, really? There's no Assassination Classroom? Let me take a look. Assassination Classroom. Why would it autocorrect Assassination to As Sanitation, you stupid thing? No, I don't want... stupid
thing. iPhone.
It's not even an iPhone, it's my iPad, but okay, yeah, the most
Apple,
recent was
Apple.
Yeah, was on the 22nd, and it was the one with the name. Huh, weird. I don't know why there's not a new chapter. Okay, so we have a, let's see, no, dang. Shoku.
You know Soma, chapter 71.
Yes, let us pull that up. And chapter 71, Courage and Resolution, okay. Seems like we're a little behind on this one. All right, this one. What was this one all about?
Okay, basically it's focused on Megumi's cooking.
Ah, yes. Yeah, we do get to see that one. Yeah, so it's basically showing off how her cooking is different and why it's good. You know, it has a strong flavor while at the same
And then there's this one page that when I read, to be honest, I read this chapter, I haven't read the chapter before yet, until I was like, wait, there's a chapter 70, and I looked up, like, wait a sec, I saw a connection, I'm like, wait, that page and that color spray from chapter 70 are kind of similar. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that is, yeah, it is kind of, you basically see her in this sort of typical... female delinquent school uniform, which is kind of hilarious, where she stands out as like, oh, look at what a badass she's looking like, but then you're just like, oh, that's adorable. And I also like the one where what's his face says, hey, let me eat some of that ramen too, and she's just absolutely terrified by him. And I've decided Because I ship based on entertainment factor, I've decided this is a ship that needs to happen. Because
I'm not talking anymore.
What? It's funny.
Kidding. But yeah, but then later on there was this one page. All of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden they start like
it's
clearly not a cooking manga anymore.
Yeah,
and
that,
I'm like, wait, why are they fighting?
Yeah, that was yeah, it's a page that's pretty much a parody of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, with their ramen being symbolized by stands.
It's based off the third part 3.
Yeah.
I've only seen the anime.
Well,
so
the third part, and then all the other parts, which is the stands from part 3 onward.
I'm like, wait, what am I reading anymore?
I like it when manga make references to or parody other manga. It amuses me. They just show them like fighting, and I like the change to the art style. They still look like the same art style as this, but they look more like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
They look almost like the current JoJo's Bizarre Adventure one, almost art style.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what the intention was.
Because I was like, wait, that's not part 3. That's part whatever after 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the conclusion.
Yeah, and then the conclusion is we don't know what the conclusion is yet.
Also, notice how the director, the principal hasn't, like, stripped.
Yes.
The stripping actually counts in this series. It's a major part of the competition.
Yes, yeah, I had totally. To mention that. Yeah, that, it does basically, you know, it does make a point of, you know, it does, well, that happens next chapter, but we're not going to talk about that yet. But it does have him basically, you know, write the name of the winner, but he's still keeping his clothes on, which, yeah. So, all right, that is that. Let's go ahead and let's talk about Fairy Tail, chapter 386.
Galaxia Blade. See, when I saw that title, I was like, never heard that before. And I looked up Kirby, I was like, wait a sec, Mennonite sword called Galaxia Sword.
Also that chapter cover with Lucy, which proves that Mashima will try to sexualize anything, even something as relatively gross as brushing your teeth. Because tisk tisk Mashima. But yeah, and this chapter is basically, yeah, Jackal gets taken out, and then with Lucy losing her strength, the celestial spirit king has decided, you know what? I'm probably not going to be around for much longer, so he uses his special power, the Galaxia Blade, and then it turns out he's not actually attacking anyone. What he's doing is he's freeing the Fairy Tail members, and so they can all start fighting. And we also find out that after the two demon ladies, now with Minerva, we seem to have, seems like Mashima is on a lesbian kick right now.
Yes, approved.
Or maybe that's what happens when you turn into a demon, you become a lesbian. It's like,
Jello, get in on it.
It's like, but I'm a guy, and now I'm a demon. You're a lesbian as well. So,
wait, so I'm a girl this, now?
No, it's like, so the same as normal, right? But yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Minerva basically is like, that's what I expected from my beloved Urza. And somebody please edit it to have it say Urza-chan, just because. But yeah, and so Celestial Spirit King is like, disappears, and then Marred Gear gets petrified.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. And then you basically have the rest of the chapter as Lucy's friends showing up and protecting her from attacks by the other demons, and you got Gajio comes and protects Lucy, you've got Juvia comes and protects Gajio, you've got Gray comes and protects Juvia, and I have to say I'm kind of impressed by Mashima's restraint, not having Juvia be all like, oh, Gray saved me. But yeah, and also there's this moment of recognition between, you know, Gray and this, you know, just this look of recognition between Gray and Silver. And then, yeah, and then you got, almost called him Luffy. Crap! I'm not helping, my fairy tale is totally not like One Piece opinion at all. But Natsu shows up and eats the fire. And then they face off. And it's kind of a nice little lineup with Juvia, Gray, Natsu, and Gajio showing up to protect Lucy. And of course, the don't read the chapter title, people. It kind of gives
a spoiler. Yeah. I was like,
oh, you stupid people at the magazine. But then again, it's not like it was obvious. It wasn't obvious. There's some kind of relation. When I was saying, oh, it's probably his brother or his uncle. I was giving the series the benefit of the doubt, which turns out it didn't need, but. Yeah, so anyway, it was a good chapter. I mean,
it was good.
Yeah.
Even the lesbian part.
You mean especially the lesbian part.
Especially the lesbian part.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly, I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I read off like, wait a second, and the nerve just,
Yeah, I wonder if Mashima being doing more Yuri shipping is any kind of sign that he's decided to be a pony shipper. And since all the characters there are female, he's like, might as well. He's like, Twi-Dash.
Well, there is Equestria Girls, so I'll be fine, but
Yeah, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't. Right. They're in high school for some reason why.
Yeah. Oh, well, time to move on to Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 79, once more. And there's a the cover page is Meliodas groping Elizabeth's butt. So that chapter title is very appropriate. Once more, indeed. And, all right, so this one, yeah. It's, you know, it's a fight. You've got the cloaked person showing up, and I'm just like, okay, look. You do realize that nobody, for one second, doesn't know that that cloaked person is Merlin. I mean, one of the Seven Deadly Sins was called Merlin. The cloaked person is with Arthur. It's totally Merlin. So, you know, oh well. I guess we'll, kind of, maybe there will be some kind of twist reveal. But, yeah, the majority of the chapter is Meliodas and Gilthunder fighting. And it's just really, really well-drawn fighting, you know? And you have a moment where Meliodas is standing on the side of a tower. And at first I was like, what? He can do that? Oh, great, we're gone into DBZ and Bleach levels. But then you look at it, and he's actually smashed his feet into the stone, so that's how he's standing.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, no, we're going One Piece in that case. So, Yeah, I...
Pirates versus Knights.
That'd be cool.
Well, it never happened because one series published another series and the other series published another...
Yeah, but it would be kind of funny. Is like you've got one of the one, you've got Luffy knocks one of the knight, like pirate knocks one of the knights into the water, and the knight is like, "Ah, I can't swim with all this armor." Glug glug glug, and then the pirate gets knocked into the water by one of the knights. And is like, "Help, help! I have a devil fruit. I can't swim." And then they both die. He's like, oh. Somebody make that fan comic, please.
But, well, there kind of was. There kind of was this one fan art thing where like Natsu and Luffy and basically was it? Wait, no, this is Seven Days. Sorry, it's not relevant right now.
Yes, not relevant at all.
Oh yeah, so the part when Hendrickson was saying, "Now you die, Arthur." I'm like, Hendrickson, you don't read enough books now, do you? Because I was like, you do know Arthur doesn't die at that age, yet, do you?
Nope. Well, this is a manga, so. Who knows? But, well, actually, then again, this is a manga. They're not going to kill him. Yeah, I really like the way the fights are drawn because, I mean, it's kind of hard to discuss a series that's, you know, a chapter that's just basically for the majority just a fight. But at the same time, the way this fight is drawn is just so impressive. And I'm absolutely loving this because most of the time you've got these fights where they're, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, them using their fists, but all the fights here are happening with weapons, with swords, and just looking at the way they, you know, the sword, you know, the way the swords are drawn, it just looks, you really, really get the sense that there's actual motion here. It's not just, you know, stationary, it's very dynamic. And especially that page where it shows them, you know, kind of bouncing between around, still seem to be flying, but well, it's manga. I can forgive it, but you know, they're just this entire page of them fighting, and you're not entirely sure which one is where and everything. So which pair is fighting which one and whatnot. So it just really does kind of like, well, actually, you can tell which pair where, you know, which pair is fighting which pair of the two of them, but the way they, you know, just the way they, it kind of just seamless transition from group to group. It's not random. And yeah, so.
Oh, how about the masked lady?
Yeah, what's up with her? We don't know.
It kind of hints, I'm not sure, but I swear that she's dead, but it kind of hints that she might be Liz, but I'm like, wait,
yeah,
no.
She seems a little taller than that.
Yeah, but I think she might be someone that knows me, but then I think she said something that kind of hinted at it, but I was like, wait.
Yeah, I mean, it does specifically say demolish that deadly sin I once loved. So, you know, it's very clear that, you know, that there's some kind of connection, and since we only know one person that, you know, once loved him, so it's probably going to be Liz. So we'll kind of see what happens. And then we also get to meet Elizabeth's father, who he looks like your standard medieval king.
He's alive. I actually thought he was dead.
Yeah. Big, long, you know, long hair, long beard, looking kind of like a wizard. And
wizard,
yeah.
King.
So.
Can't
yeah, and it's. And then you've got, what's his face? What's his name again? The dude in the iron mask.
Yeah, Slade.
Slade? That's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be easy. Slade Wilson. That's not his name, but Slade Wilson from the DC Comics.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah, exactly.
Deathstroke. I know. So, yeah, that'll be easy to remember. But, yeah, he's coming. He's like, hey, I'm here to save you, Your Highness. And so, yeah, I like this guy. This will be cool. Can't wait for next chapter. All right, yeah, so this was a really good chapter. I mean, Seven Deadly Sins is definitely, I mean, there's something missing for making it one of my absolute favorite series. There are certain elements that feel very, you know, formulaic and forced, like the whole Meliodas groping Elizabeth and whatnot. It just feels like, you know, it does this because it's, you know, because that's comedy, and that's what manga, you know, shonen manga do. But a lot of the other elements really make it one of my favorite series at the moment, especially the fact that I can enjoy every single chapter, even though, like, at the beginning of every week, I'm sort of thinking, oh, no, I'm not interested, you know, this is just, you know, yet another Seven Deadly Sins chapter, whatever, and then I read it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh! So
I just say, oh, it's a nice, it's a good chapter. I'm like, I understand, you don't read them.
Yeah, I like this. It was a good. This was a great chapter. Quite excellent, I must say. Yes, yes, indeed. Okay. See, did we have any other chapters that we needed to go over?
No, Attack on Titan. They'll probably be coming out next week.
Probably. All right. Well, in that case, let's go ahead and wrap things up, shall we? This has been Manga Cubed, episode 99. For the week of June 2nd. Yes, it was the 2nd. Yeah, it was the 2nd. June 2nd, 2014. This week we went over Hunter x Hunter Volume 1, One Piece Volumes 37 through 39, and of course we discussed the weekly chapters as usual. And this week, let's go ahead and wrap things up, starting off with the author comments from Weekly Shonen Jump. We have Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I'm amazed Toriko has lasted for 6 years. It's all thanks to you. I'm so grateful.
It's been running for 6 years?
I guess.
Oh, wait, yeah. I did just say it started in 2008. How did I forget that?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Hunter x Hunters. Yoshihiro Togashi. I'm so sorry for the long wait. I'm still a bit rusty, but I'll do my best. Well, from what I've heard about his artwork, some of his chapters are very lazily drawn. Very.
Yeah, what? I've seen some of them, but, you know, there's probably extenuating circumstances. You know how a lot of manga authors like to be private about their personal life, so chances are there maybe there's some kind of medical or, you know, psychological reason that he's not able to write every week, and...
Well, he's, like, hitting... He's, like, in his 50s now, I think.
Yeah, about, so...
Oh, hitting 50, sorry.
Yeah. All right, well, next one. One Piece's H.R. Oda. I tried out a famous smartphone escape game called Doors. I'll need to check out a real escape game next.
Ah, Doors. Door food.
Nah. How well timed.
I want to try that.
I wonder if it's available in the States. Alright, next one.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. World Trigger again anime. Wait, what? I'm the most surprised of all.
No, you're not.
So that this anime will outshine the manga. You better make sure it won't outshine the manga, but if it does, then it'll be a good thing, actually.
This seems early, but I guess they're doing it earlier and earlier, but...
That's not a good thing, to be honest. I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Well, see what happens.
Maybe they'll do kind of like what happened with Leaf Boy. Not sure if it's getting a second season coming up, but... Just to get the anime out so it can promote the series and people go, oh, I want to check the series out.
Well, kind of like what Attack on Titan did as well. I mean, the manga would not be doing nearly as well if it weren't for the anime, and they kind of found a good place to stop. But while also dumping, sequel bait. All right. World Trigger, Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. To get myself ready for the Hollywood version of Godzilla, I've started watching the original movies from the beginning. I need to watch the original movies from the beginning.
Hopefully, when you write a new series, it'll be better than what he's writing right now.
Yeah.
Right, next. I mean, it haven't said when it's going to end. I know it's going to end. It's going to come up eventually. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. Another Godzilla fan. I hear that Godzilla is a huge hit in the U.S. I can't wait for the Japanese release. Actually, the Japanese release should make more sense.
Yeah, except that, why are there all these white people?
White people. Here.
Yeah, alright. Nisekō is Naoshi Komi. I watched the final episode of the Nisekō anime. So many tears. I thank everyone involved in the production from the bottom of my heart.
Actually, no, not all these white people. They're like, hey, they're speaking Japanese. Now it feels like a manga.
Of course. Yeah, but... Yeah, so I need to catch up on the Nisekō anime.
Yeah. I probably should, too.
Yeah.
I kind of want to stick to the manga. I don't know, I just... It's just, I'm not an anime person these days anymore.
And that's why you're not on my other podcast.
Shut it.
Although the entire point of that is it's filled with not with people that aren't anime people.
Anyways, Bleach is Tite Kubo. My family did all their sightseeing while I was sleeping. Come visit again soon. So they... It was like, oh, Kubo's sleeping. We'll just go and do our sightseeing anyway. It's like, what?
Yeah. That does kind of... That is what that kind of feels like.
I hate that. I'm like... Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sleeping and then Rosa comes to visit. I didn't even know that Rosa came to visit all the time. And I'm like, wait. Oh, you missed your cousin so-and-so came to visit. I'm like... Why didn't you wake me up? Oh, you were sleeping and all that.
For me, it's usually because I'm at work.
Oh.
Let's see. Okay, then. Let's do our rankings, shall we?
Sure.
Let's see. Number four. What's your number four, Mo?
Actually, this is a surprise on people. Hunter Hunter. All
right. That's actually... Yeah, that's what I'm choosing as my number four as well.
Which is funny because it's like I've only read 30 chapters plus one, and somehow it's my number four.
It was an interesting chapter. It did a good job of getting me interested in what the heck's going on. So I say yay. Indeed, I do. All right, number three.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Number three, what do you say?
Toriko, I guess.
Guess, okay. Sounds like you have a very firm reason for that.
Yeah, Toriko.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Toriko, you know, I'm kind of sad they didn't explore the maze, that they just went through the entire maze. I mean, it's kind of pointless to make the maze in the first place.
Yeah.
Make us be all, oh my god, it's so amazing, and it oh, there's treasure in time. Like,
well, there definitely is kind of a sense with modern manga that, you know, if this were written 10 years ago, it would have, well, even more than 10 years ago, they would have explored the maze in great detail. But there is kind of a sense that, you know, you got to keep the story flowing instead of stretching it out as much as possible.
Oh, wait, I just realized something.
What?
With the Puffer Whale arc, they had a maze too, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
And then they had the jewel thing, and they explored it too. But this one didn't really need to because they're just trying to get through about dying.
Exactly, yeah. It's like,
they're trying to get to Hexful World, not trying to explore the actual place and forget what they're going to
do. Yeah, he's probably...
Okay, that's forgiven.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, he's like, we've already done two mazes. We need to get through this. All right, my number three is Bleach, actually. I just really liked it. It was, I mean, the character, seeing Ichigo show up finally was nice. And having him, you know, kind of show how overpowered he is now is kind of entertaining. All right, what's your number two?
Nisekoi?
It's mine too. It was just really funny. It just had some really great expressions, so, yeah. And number one is, of course...
The Gumi My Wife, I mean, One Piece.
One Piece, yes. It, just for obvious reasons, One Piece was just really awesome. I mean, I can't really... You know, I can't really argue against it. It was quite excellent.
Zoro fighting Pika with that really ridiculous giant katana versus a regular-sized katana. But then Zoro was trained by Mihawk, and Mihawk uses a giant-ass sword in the first place, so...
Yeah, that is true.
It works.
Yep, quite so. All right, then. And that was that. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 99. Look out for episode 100 coming next week. As always, I have been your host, Derek, and my co-host has been Mo. So now we are signing off. So remember, the manga is always better.